Gladio cast.
Gladiotto.
And we are recording. Let me make sure I can see my friend Kevin and my friend Kate here. And we're going to start the show. There is no hot mic tonight because I don't have the patience to deal with that shit. That's all Tony's stuff. And I got a lot of shit. I hope Tony fucking drowns while he's on vacation, okay? The shit talking he did last week when I was sick, that motherfucker. I'm on him. I'm on him now, like fucking white on rice. We have a packed show tonight. I am back. I am fired up. I got Nelly laying across me here. She's going to run the soundboard. I got Kevin Garifo, the KJG, hanging out with us tonight. He's back as always. And from last week's episode and your Wednesday Night Dynamite show, not painted like Warhorse tonight, Kate the Great. And we have a crazy, crazy show set up for you guys. We got TJ Crawford calling in. He's one of the hottest independent stars in the Northeast on the rise. If you're not familiar with him, you're definitely going to want to tune into this interview. We got New Japan Pro Wrestling talk. We got AEW talk. The XFL is back. What the fuck? We have so much to talk about. We got Kevin's top five list. We got Can You Beat That? The rematch. So much more. All this. Kevin's already shaking his head.
I'm no selling this from now on.
He's gonna no sell until he's the champion again. Then we'll never hear the end of it.
I wasn't like that before.
All
the champion again.
Oh, don't worry.
He's the champion again.
All this and more.
I already feel like there's a setup.
Next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, I got this mark coming up to me when I'm trying to leave this place. I've made God knows how much money off of these fat losers on merch money, on my fee, and right now you are listening to just another reason why I get paid as this guy hands me a 50. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you and you know it, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast, unfortunately.
Now, Kevin, you looked a little bit confused by the purification song.
Oh, that's what that was?
That indeed was the purification song. I had to go back and listen to that episode with that fucking tool bag, Francis Wright, who, you know what? T-Donk is not here to defend his buddy, his Illuminati, his fucking tinfoil hat-wearing idiot friend. I'm going to tell you something right now, because I've been going back and forth on Twitter with this circus clown.
Yeah,
it's on.
Have.
It's on. And Kate, you want to dress in tinfoil? You want to be their valet? You could be with fucking T-Donk and fucking Francis Wright. That's fine. Me and Kevin, we got a secret surprise for old fucking Illuminati fucking brains.
It's so secret, I don't even know about
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Well, I haven't had a chance to tell you about it yet, so. And I'm not going to do it on the podcast. I'm not showing my hand here.
Yes. You are just impure. You don't realize that Barack Obama is running professional wrestling. You are not a part of the Illuminati. Just because you don't get it and you haven't had your eyes open to it, you can resist all you want. It's what's happening. So just the sooner you get on board, you won't get left behind. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And a disservice to those who usually watch us in the hot mic. I failed you Wednesday night because Kate was painted like Warhorse. And now Kate looks like every white girl on the Jersey Shore. She's only missing a white claw in her hands. She's got her bleach blonde hair. She's got the bandana, but it's like rolled up and tied up all like a little scrunchie. So.
Listen.
The only reason why she has that bandana on is because she still has some of that red freaking Warhorse goop in her hair that she's trying to cover up. So
that may be a little bit true. But the other thing is, if you have a bandana on your head, you cannot forget your mask because you have one on your head. So if you're running errands around, putting a bandana on the old noggin, a good move.
I had my mask because me and Matt had a little discussion about this a couple weeks ago, how like I always have it on, like always. And when it's not on, it's like hanging over my ear. So today, I was brushing my teeth. And I had the mask on, like over my, like half on, like on my ear. And I rinsed all in the mask.
No!
And spit out all the toothpaste, all of the mask, and it, like splashed back right in my face. And it was like, oh, it was gross. Added an extra like 4 or 5 minutes to the teeth brushing process. So,
I gotta ask, Kev, why were you brushing your teeth with your mask hanging off your ear?
Because it's literally always on at some point. Like I literally have it on all the time. Like I'm putting it out. Like it was right next to me. I have it on like right here on my ear all the time. So if I go out, or if I go upstairs and I'm around, you know, my father, I put it on. So it's always hanging off my ear. And I was like, it was literally like kind of like this. I'm brushing my teeth, kind of like pulling it, and then all over it.
Sounds like a losing strategy. Wouldn't be your first one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. By the way, Shining Wizards, Kevin, Shining Wizards, Matt, and Kate, the great KTG joining us. We didn't do an intro, did we?
No, because you had such a disheveled look on your face about the purification song. We had to make sure that the podcast was pure with some idiot rambling. So now I'm going to play that during every intro just because I know that's Tony's boy and they have like this weird fucking – they're going to wear tinfoil hats and watch Jesse Ventura documentaries or some goofy non-shit about the fucking Illuminati annoying.
I don't know. I feel good after hearing that song. Do you guys feel good?
No, it was just some idiot going no 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 no.
It sounded like he was like talking to whales. Like that sounded like whales like mating calls.
Some idiot?
Yeah.
Is that how you treat all of your guests? He's just some idiot.
I mean, when he was frantic, he was an idiot. He was like a raving lunatic idiot. And now this Francis Wright guy is definitely a complete idiot. So this is what I'm dealing with right now. I'm going against him. You know what? I'm Bobby Lashley. He's taking a backseat. King Mo, I'm going to focus all my energy on this Francis Wright character. Francis Wright, PW on Twitter. If you want to tell him that heavy metal rocks and that he's a piece of trash, you can go ahead because he's got his sights set on John Cena, Roman Reigns, Steve Austin, Barack Obama.
That's right.
I don't know what he has to do with pro wrestling, but this is his list. Oh, and maybe Professor Nicodemus, whatever that is, whatever a fucking Professor Nicodemus is. I listened to it today in my very unsuccessful journey to find AEW figures, which don't ask me why I'm doing this because I pre-ordered them. I just
I didn't have like the stones to ask you because like you know how like you got, my memory is absolutely terrible, like absolutely terrible. So I'm always afraid to ask a question that I may have already asked. And so, like, I was like, Matt, like, didn't you, like, you pre-order everything. Like, why didn't you just pre-order them? And I didn't want to ask him that because he would have been like, Kevin, you idiot, we talked about this.
There's a reason. Because of your two boyfriends and their action figure podcast, it's fucking impossible to find the other Hasbros that I need without like either winning a raffle or giving a kidney or doing something that I just can't afford to do. So like I went to the Walmart yesterday early thinking like, oh, maybe like they'll put them out early. And I happened to stumble upon Elite Series 77, the Rick Rude with the robe, the Miss Elizabeth and the Viscera, which I also pre-ordered. But I bought them anyway because I need some trade bait here.
Maybe I might need that vis, so maybe I'll buy the vis off you.
I don't know if I'm selling, Kevin.
Wait, but I thought if you're going to get two of them.
Right. One is to trade. I need trade bait.
Oh. Right,
we'll talk off air about this, okay, Kevin? I got a pile of shit on my desk for you. I got a fucking Stompin' Paradise fucking micro brawlers. I got a mask that Vincent sent us. Thank you, Vincent, from Ring of Honor. He sent us three Vincent face masks. They're actually excellent. I wore mine out today in my travels. So you have a nice collection of shit at my house.
Shout out to Virgil for those face masks. Really appreciate.
No, not Virgil. Not Virgil. Vincent.
NWO Vincent. For
no,
life.
No. Vincent, you dig.
Oh, you dig, Vincent.
You dig. Not like I work at Olive Garden, Vincent. Like, here's some free breadsticks. I mean, you might be able to mail those. I don't know. I've never mailed food.
Really? Well, that's like the way of the world now.
Sure, but if you get it from that garbage company Goldbelly like Tony did the other day with his Moobies, and it came in like a fucking tiny ice pack, and then he got his Moobies, and the fucking meat was like rotten. How are you going to send somebody fucking rotten meat?
You just said a lot of words that I don't know.
All right, Goldbelly is a company that specializes in sending food, like specialty food. Like for Rhiannon's birthday, I went through Goldbelly, and I got her bagels from the Bagel Nook, which is down in, like, Central Jersey.
Alrighty.
And they do, like, Oreo bagels with, like, Oreo cream cheese, and they do, like, Cool Ranch bagels with, like, Doritos cream cheese, like, all sorts of fun stuff. And that got to me perfect. But Tony, being a big Clerks fan, he ordered the Moobies set. Moobies is like the burger restaurant in Clerks 2 where they work at. And he got it. I'm sure he will tell the story better and he'll make it like much more agonizing than I am making it. But he got it and there was like a tiny ice pack in it. And it was last week when it was like 1,000 degrees every day. So the tiny ice pack I don't think was doing its job. So he did not risk it, which I wish he did. I wish he would have ate rancid meat and then his vacation would have been fucking ruined because he wants to talk about me being sick all last week on the show. Couldn't wait. You guys could have been talking about, you know, Kate could have been telling Tony that she watched an imaginary made-up match in New Japan where it was evil against Naito when it was really evil against Hiromu, but whatever. We're, you know, not going to throw Kate under the bus for this one. But no,
as
soon as she was done with that, he was like, oh, maybe did he shit his pants like Matt? You know what, T-Donk? I hope you get stung by a fucking jellyfish. I hope a wave knocks your fucking hotel over. I hope you get a hurricane in your room, you fucking dickhead. Yeah, in his room. I hope all his shit gets wet. All his clothes get wet. Hope he loses his glasses. Fucking blind shit. He can't see. TJ Crawford joining us tonight. Young, rising, up-and-comer in the world of professional wrestling. We'll find out what he's been up to. I know he did the Synergy Wrestling recently. I know he's done stuff with Beyond Wrestling, and Beyond's just starting to get going again with the GCW, and they're doing some outdoor shit, and Synergy's doing outdoor stuff. So we got a lot going on. We got a lot of spoons in the porridge, as I like to say.
You do like to say that.
I'm fired up. I was ill last week, and I missed out on Brian Pillman and his terrible hair, but I think you guys did a fantastic job. And then Kevin crushed it Tuesday night. He watched Impact and he tweeted and we got a lot of love there. Kate and company did a great job Wednesday night. I was in and out of the show. Kevin's a little on the fence with that. That's fine. Yeah. So, you know, I missed it. Wednesday I was not ill. Wednesday I was just way behind the ball with work. So we're back though.
That's right.
And I'm full of fucking piss and vinegar. Kevin's got a top five list. I got Can You Beat That? That I think I feel good about the Can You Beat That. Kevin, I feel good. Now, last time I gave you this pep talk, Kevin, you fucking swept Tony. You crush him. You crush him like grape.
Here's how bad I crush him like grape.
Yeah, he beat Tony. Kevin beat Tony. Yes, me.
Listen, I beat Matt too, and Matt and Tony are very, very intelligent minds when it comes to pro wrestling.
Kevin.
I'm not doing this. I want to go back to something that Matt brought up earlier, his unsuccessful fig hunt.
Yeah, what happened?
for the AEW figures. Matt, are you familiar with Jeremy Padour?
I do follow him on the Instagram, yes.
So did you see his post about why the figures were not available today?
You better not tell me that Big Vito and company hijacked a Walmart truck, because I'll be very upset. No, I did not see. I've been very disconnected from social media today.
All right, so Jeremy Padour, who is either the head or he's a very high up. And Kate, I didn't want to be rude. We will go back to the talk about the
beat. No, it's fine. I'm the one with the belt, so I don't care.
No, that's fine. See, look, I try to be nice, and you just go ahead and do that. See, I'm gonna freaking...
Look, I'll say this. I never talked about you like Matt just talked about Tony. I think we might have the B feud, even though it's for the title. That was intense. You went for a hurricane in his room. I at least, you know, I respect my opponent, but whoo, boy.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Tony and Matt are going to be like Tyson and Roy Jones. They're going to have some exhibition fight on pay-per-view.
No. I'm Tyson, and he's fucking Peter McNeely, all right? He'll be working at fucking Burger King next week.
The Hurricane Peter McNeely.
Exactly.
So Tony doesn't need a hurricane in his room. He is the hurricane.
Yeah, he's the fucking...
Bring it back to the figures, because I want to know about this, too. I'm intrigued. All right,
so this is from Jeremy Padour's Twitter. He's very active in, like Matt said, my boyfriend's circle. And for those, obviously, my air quote boyfriends are Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Here's the latest. Walmart is resetting the entire toy category this week and into next. AEW product should be arriving on a store-to-store basis as early as late this evening. And this was posted at noon today. Today's the 3rd, right?
Today is the 3rd. I'll tell you, at 6 o'clock, they were still not at the Walmart down the street from me because I stopped on the way home.
Okay, so again, store-to-store basis, and they mentioned COVID had a lot to do with it and this and that, but a lot of people, Matt, you weren't the only one that struck out. Everyone in the figure community struck out today if you didn't pre-order from Ringside Collectibles. Kate?
I'm not like a figurehead like you guys are, but isn't that like kind of a really big thing to fuck up? Because people salivate over this stuff, right? Like, isn't that kind of a big deal for them to, especially the way they were promoting it on AEW? Like, I know nothing about this world, but that seems like kind of a big thing to screw up.
Yeah, this seems like it's more of a Walmart issue than it is a Jazzwares or a Padour issue. Just based what I'm getting, because it seems like Walmart was making changes to their structure and stuff like that. So that's what it seems like to me. But you're right in the sense of marketing and advertising. They literally put the date on their commercials, like they said August 3rd, Walmart. So I think, right, didn't they in their commercials?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so, and even for Walmart to like get in your own way like that just seems like that's gonna sell out probably, right? I would think, or come close to. So the idea that they would screw it up because they wanted to reorganize stuff just seems like amateur hour. But
I don't know what the lingo actually means. Like, resetting their entire toy category can mean something that I don't even really know about. Like, it might just not mean moving something somewhere else.
Well, I can tell you from the 3 different Walmarts that I went to today, all the toy sections were very bare. So yeah. It was like maybe they're cleaning it out and they're resetting. I also did, I told you, Kevin, I'm going to use pronouns. I told Kevin yesterday what my plan was. I was going to go before the Walmart closed last night and just see if they had any AEW stuff maybe early. And then Kevin was like, are the peg holders out? So then I was looking today and I saw 0 peg holders too that said anything that resembled AEW. So, yeah, I don't know. You can't really put it on national TV that you're going to have a product drop on the 3rd. I mean, I get it. Maybe, you know, I'd be more annoyed if I woke up at like 7 o'clock in the morning and then I'm standing outside of the Walmart like this.
I've been waiting for this day for a long, long time.
And then I went inside and there was fucking no face. Like, at one point yesterday, I was like, I'm going to wake up early. And I'm going to be like the first one at the Walmart so I can just snag like a bunch of this stuff. And then I don't know why. Get away from there. I gave you guys a heart just so you know. Fucking Skype rules. at one point yesterday, I was like, I'll wake up early and I'll go and I'll get a bunch. And then, like, I can get a bunch of shit done. Then I'll take a nap in the middle of the day. And then, yeah, that didn't happen. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be one of those people. Because I was running a risk of it not being out yet. And long story short, it was not out, so.
Yeah, and a lot of people, again, like, aren't surprised by this. It's apparently Walmart has a history of screwing this kind of stuff up. And a lot of people weren't expecting, at least in, the major group, whatever. A lot of people who are very way more knowledgeable about figures than I am were not surprised that this happened at all and weren't expecting them to be there at the very least till Wednesday. So we'll see.
Duly noted. I think I'm off Wednesday morning, so I could always go back out there. And
I'd go every day. You know what I mean? Because you never, like, Matt, like, you went Sunday just in case. You never know.
I just want, like, the Chase figures, too.
Because the Cody is, like, one of, I think, 500. And I think the Jericho is, like, one of 1,000. So.
Yeah. And so. And the thing is, like, because I'm in, you know, it's like, you know, I'm in on the bottom floor now. Like, I'm in. I pre-ordered the first set. I pre-ordered the second. I got the little bit of the bubbly guy. I pre-ordered the ring with the extra Kenny Omega figure. So, like, I'm in. It's just like when I started collecting the retro Hasbros. Like, I was in. And then I realized I didn't have Roman Reigns. And I was like, why don't I have fucking Roman Reigns? And I was like, oh, you know what? It doesn't matter because you're never going to get them because he's the most expensive one. But then I won a raffle. And I think that's the only way I'm going to complete the rest of my fucking Hasbro collection because the prices are through the goddamn roof on these fucking green cards. Kate, you want to speak on this, Odelay?
A little bit because, again, I know none of the things. But this Cody figure has no neck tattoo, right? So this is like already a collector's item, essentially?
I mean, I think, just like everything, you strike when the iron's hot, and they're going to be desirable now for a while. But I don't think that'll make, if anything, I think this will make it less valuable than if they do make a second one with a neck tattoo. I feel like the more deco means that it's more desirable for a lot of people. But the Chase has like a weird like Star Wars or Star Trek gimmick on it. It's like a soft goods sweater or shirt. So that'll probably be one. If you're one of 500, you're one of 500. Those are going to skyrocket. Like, those are going to be resaled like to the moon.
Sure.
But in terms of, again, this is just my novice opinion on they'll be hot for a while, but depending on how much of them are produced, chases are one thing, but the regular ones, like, I feel like Brandy will be peg warming peg warming means you just sit on, you're on the pegs forever and no one buys you. I feel like Brandy will sell at first just because people want to be completists and get the collection, but Brandy will probably be a peg warmer. I even want to say, like, Omega might be a peg warmer for a while, which pains me to say, but I feel like if anything with AEW, like, he's lost the most, even though his storyline is great on a wrestling fan's perspective, but if you're a kid and, like, you know Jericho, you know the Bucks. The Bucks are very toyetic with their poses and, you know, their gear. I feel like if anyone's going to be a peg warmer, it's going to be Omega out of that group. So I do need an Omega, though, because I need to get Omega and Jericho because I want figures of people that have been on the podcast. So.
Oh, I love that. If he turns heel, as we're anticipating, and they do like a throwback, like, cleaner Kenny one at some point, he's going to come with some really cool props, I would get.
Listen, the longer AEW stays around, the longer, the more chance we'll get a Kenny Omega, like, every other line.
Yeah.
Like every other release, you'll probably see a Kenny, or just, like, you'll probably see a Cody, and you'll probably see a Jericho as long as he's around. I'm not saying every release, but every few, you'll see another one, and they already got the gentleman, my dear good friend, who read our liner for today, is in series two. That would be Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I actually recorded that liner. That was me at a show with him, and it was hysterical. He's the best.
Well, he's is this on? Oh, okay, I thought you turned off my mic. He will be getting a world title shot at All Out. She turned my mic down. You little shit.
Turn my mic on.
MJF, who officially challenged. Now my mic's all fucked up. Goddamn cat.
Sounds good, man.
It was announced that he will challenge for the AEW Championship at All Out next month, whether it be held by Darby Allin or Jon Moxley. I'm sure the match Wednesday night between Darby and Jon will be great, but we all assume it's going to be MJF and Jon Moxley at All Out in September.
I would love for MJF to win that championship, but we'll save that for picks, I guess.
I mean, we're not doing picks for that for another month, but I don't know. I think MJF as the world champion is a smart move for AEW.
I feel like it'll give people something that it'll be like one of those things where, like, hey, I'm not the tallest guy, I'm not the biggest guy, but I can talk and I'm good in the ring and I'm the best. And you put a title on a guy, a world championship on a guy like that, that'll speak volumes for what AEW is really, really, really all about to me.
Especially while Cody has the other title and there's such animosity between them, that could lead to some really cool title versus title stuff. I love that idea. And Eddie Kingston got signed. Oh my God, Eddie Kingston got signed. And what I wouldn't give for an Eddie Kingston MJF feud. Oh my God, the jaw jocking that would go on there. Whoo.
Yeah, there might not be two better promos in the game right now than Eddie Kingston and MJF. I mean, obviously you got your experienced guys like Jericho and whatnot, but I really think MJF and Eddie Kingston are the best.
Absolutely. Kingston's definitely somebody you forget to mention when you bring up best promos, but that promo we cut 2 weeks ago was fucking fire. Now, I missed the Dynamite show, and Kevin, we haven't spoke since the AEW Dynamite show. And a couple weeks ago, I made a couple statements on this podcast
you're gonna get me hot.
About Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder, about him coming to AEW, and I was 1,000% against it. And then fast forward to Wednesday night, Cody has his match with Warhorse, which I thought was an excellent match. As a whole, and we can get into this a little bit if we want. I know, Kate, you guys did a show Wednesday night about this. I don't think Dynamite delivered. I thought it was not a very good show. And it kind of has me worried. I don't think it'll be a repeat performance, but that 10-man tag to open the show last week was just all over the fucking place. And now they're setting up a 12-man tag this week. I don't know. It just seems like way too many fucking moving parts. A lot of like standing around waiting for people outside the ring and stuff. And I don't want to sound like Jim Ross, but it's not something you can't notice. You know, when there's two guys in the ring and there's fucking 10 guys crowded outside in one spot, you kind of know what's going to happen. So I don't know. I just felt like it felt flat. Post-match, though, Cody is about to get jumped by the Dark Order. Warhorse tries to make the save, but he fucking gets beat up and thrown outside. And then Matt Cardona makes his AEW debut. My one problem is he didn't run to the ring. It didn't feel like there was like a sense of urgency there. And that could just be me picking nits. I was not excited about the prospect of him going there. And I really thought I was going to hate this, but I really didn't have a problem with it. The Rough Rider is a stupid fucking move. I hate it.
It's a leg lariat, bro. It's not the first time it's been done.
I'm not saying it. I just don't like it. He could do it.
Well. He's so stiff, man.
He could do it. Fucking ACH could do it. Somebody else could do it. I just don't like the fucking move. And I hate that I don't think he's getting away from his Long Island Ice Z thing. The fact that he spells always with a Z at the end really just fucking bugs me. But I also read that he only signed a 5-appearance deal, which could turn into a full-time contract. But what better way to help facilitate the Cody heel turn than here's this story. This is Cody's friend. This is somebody Cody has a relationship with. And then eventually maybe they go on a little run with these tag team matches to have Cody turn on him and just kind of help hammer home the fact that Cody's going to be a super heel. It's not my cup of tea, the Matt Cardona thing, but I don't hate it as much as everybody else does. It serves – I have much faith in AEW where almost every move they make serves a purpose. I don't think it's like the steal of free agency, but it doesn't hurt. So yeah, that's my take on it. Kevin had his hands over his face. He was like doing like this weird pray. He's praying right now. Now he's trying to poke his eyes out. What do you got, Kev?
No, I mean, no matter what I say about it, it's going to be a lose. It's going to be a lose-lose because everyone knows how I feel about Zack Ryder, the performer. And I've made my arguments in the Discord about why it's a no-brainer to sign him. I mean, I don't know anything about that deal, that four-appearance deal, but it makes absolute sense to sign him. And I will go back to your running thing first, because I agree with you. It looked a little weird, but I feel like the slow motion, like walking out so you can like actually see who it was, because he hadn't been on TV. Well, hadn't been on TV in a long time, but he was released. And so it's been at least those 90 days. So you get that visual of him walking, serious face. And also that stage is kind of wonky with the stairs right in the middle of like everything. So, I mean, I don't even think like people like the Revival like run down, like, so that's my like one little defense on that. And I know that was just you, like you said, picking nits. I think it makes absolute sense to sign him. I think, I mean, the guy has equity. People know who he is. He has that relationship with Cody. His t-shirt on Shop AEW was the best selling t-shirt of, it might still be a week's top bestseller. That like he knows what he's doing. He has the experience. He has the TV exposure. He has knowledge to give, and he has he still can go. No, don't get me wrong. You know, I thought he broke his ankle when he clotheslined one of the guys. I forget who it was over the one of the dark, either Alex or Johnny over the ropes. But this to me was an absolute no-brainer, and the hate that it got floored me. But. I mean, that's me, and I'm gonna lose. I'm gonna lose every argument about this just because everyone sees me as
you're getting all fired up over there. Relax,
getting hot like the anniversary show, baby.
I see that. Relax, it's okay. It's okay. First of all, did you expect anything less from the wrestling fans?
Wrestling fans, no. My peers, yes.
I mean, look, everybody is not going to. It's not something everybody wants now. If it plays out and it's successful and he fills a role, my other concern is I don't want like Zack Ryder. Let me see something different. Give me, you know, you're Matt Cardona. Yeah, you want to throw a Z at the end of always like a fucking Guido. That's fine. But like
Matt,
is
Matt,
there
Matt.
More? The, is there more to the character?
I'm going
to
stop you. Dudley's ends with a Z.
I hate
the Hardys ended with a Z. Terrible. So this is not something new that Zack Ryder just started.
I understand that, but I also think it's stupid.
All right. But don't throw him under the bus like he invented it.
I didn't say he invented it. I just don't like it. But that goes with the broski, the Long Island Ice Z.
LI thing. All right. I'll let Kate
I don't want like Zack Ryder 2.0. Like
I don't think we're going to get that.
I hope not. I hope he's going to use this platform to show us a side of Zack Ryder that maybe we've never seen before. And that could be a very good thing for him. Before you say anything, Kate, just to Kevin's credit, he does have a great following. He has a crazy loyal fan base. I mean, if you follow the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, like everything they put on sale sells out in under an hour. And those people don't just support the action figure community. They support Matt and Brian. Like when Brian eventually shows up and does something on Impact besides the little vignettes and he has merch and shit, I'm sure that's going to fucking fly out of Impact too, because they have like a very loyal fan base. And Zack Ryder knows how to work social media. He was one of the first wrestlers to really embrace it and helped get him over huge. So having him under the AEW umbrella is definitely something that's very helpful.
And Kate, I will definitely let you speak, but there could be something said that there might not be an AEW if Zack Ryder doesn't exist, because let me show my work. Without Zack Ryder reinventing social media and going when he wasn't being used and doing all that stuff led to people utilizing it in such a way where being the elite can be a thing. So without being the elite, is there AEW? I don't. It might be a stretch, but I don't think it's that much. Matt, I can see Matt going, but Kate's been itching to talk for a while.
Well, what's so funny is Kevin came in so hot, and I actually agree with everything you said, and I still just don't like it, but that's just because of a taste thing. I don't even think it's necessarily a bad business decision, and I don't think anybody, I don't even know if anybody on Wednesday night would argue that it's a bad business decision. The thing that I love about wrestling is mostly, for the most part, in-ring storytelling. So, and I don't think that's Zack Ryder's strength, Mark Cardona's strength, whoever the hell we're getting strength. So, like, I don't disagree with you nearly as much as I think you think I do. And I've had a lot of pro Matt Cardona discussions, trust me, this week, because a lot of people that listen to us on Wednesday were like, I think it's a great, I understand the move. He's just not my guy. In the same way that Brian Cage is not my guy. In the same way that Jake Hager's not my guy. Like, I just don't love it. Cause he doesn't do anything for me in the ring. But
I think you discredit what his role is as a wrestler. He's not going to be your, and this is where I'm not saying, and this is not you personally, this is just a lot of hate on him, because he's not your typical AEW guy like that you would expect. He's not the guy that they started out with. He's not the elite. He's not Omega. He's not going to give you a 5-star match, but he does his job as a sympathetic babyface. He gets you on his side and makes the bad guys look good. And he could do that with just about anybody, and he has enough in-ring experience. You don't get a WWE career for 15 years and not be a quality in-ring performer. Like, not even like Great Khali, like, he gets a job because he's a giant. But Zack Ryder, like, no one is like that. Like, Zack Ryder was there for 15 years and was a serviceable guy for a long time. People just think of the woo-woo-woo, this and that, which was great, but he did more after that, and he did a lot before that as working with Edge, Undertaker, and I mentioned this in the Discord, which, well, that's a whole other animal.
I thought I talked you off the ledge.
You talked me off the ledge, but I'm afraid that once I go back on the ledge, I'm going to delete it again in a heartbeat, because I can't stand people that don't argue with. Like, Kate at least brings something to the table. You bring something to the table. I can't handle people that bring absolutely nothing to the fucking table. And then when I prove them wrong, they resort to insults and to fucking shitty comments that have nothing to do with the argument in itself. And that bothers me. And that's why I can't.
You're also, like, there's a huge difference between it being a good idea for AEW signing him and people just not liking that he's going to be a part of the product. Like, I think, look, if they use him in the way that you're saying, as someone that's, like, going to put a bunch of other people over, and maybe it's a contract like Cabana has, where it's, like, commentary and training and whatever, like, I think people are going to have way less of a problem with it. It just feels like the way that he's coming in is, like, he might be set up for a title picture or whatever, and I'd rather not see that. So
No chance. Unless it's, like you said, unless it's a feud with Cody for a little bit, which is fine. But let's just... On Wednesday night, he and Cody take on John Silver and Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order. Let's see who takes the majority of the beating before the hot tag is made. And this, all right, so this might be a little different in the sense that because it's Zach's first match or Matt's first match, that maybe Cody takes the beat down and the hot tag does go to Matt Cardona. But if it was any other situation, I guarantee you, Matt would feed the heels to make, and then Cody would get the hot tag and Cody would clean house. So this situation, my argument's really not that solid, only because it's Matt's first match. So, but I'm telling you right now, if you put him in there, I mean, he might have a good run for a little while, but that's what you do when you bring somebody new in. Impact brought in four guys or like six guys from WWE.
I think you're Zack Ryder. Without bias. Zack Ryder, there would be no AEW being the elite. That's a bit of a stretch.
I said that it's possible that it could be, but
I think it's definitely a stretch. I also think that
Cody said that.
I also think that I think part of it is he's got the WWE stink on him. You know, like, you, there's two sides to this fence. There's the people who are like just AEW and they're happy and they're like, oh, here's an opportunity where these guys who are leaving the WWE get a chance to spread their wings and fly. And then there's the other side of the fence where it's like, well, they're just taking all the ex WWE guys. So, like,
so why were people so cool with the Revival coming in? Why were people okay with Sean Spears coming in? They were used just as terribly as Zack Ryder was for the last 4 years. Why is, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Because people, I don't think people like his character. The character he portrayed, the Jersey Shore Guido guy, I don't know anybody.
He hadn't been that in years.
Right, but that's where he...
Say the opposite. I feel like Sean Spears can really go in the ring and Matt Cardona can't. Like, I actually feel the other way, where it's more like those guys that are coming in are better ring workers. I think, and for me, like, there's so many guys in AEW that can do all aspects really well that when you bring in someone who's a quote-unquote top name from somewhere else who doesn't do things in, like, as well necessarily in all those capacities, like, that is something that loses steam for me. And I like, but again, like, there's, it's okay. Like, there's other guys on the roster that I don't love. Like, it's not because it's this guy who was WWE. For me, it's not because it's a guy that was WWE coming in. It's like, I'm not into Brian Cage at all right now. I'm not really into Matt Cardona. I'm not super into Jake Hager. Like, there's plenty of people that just, like, aren't scratching me where I itch. And it's not just Matt Cardona. It's like, I think the white horses and the trumpets that are around him is what's making it such a big deal. And I think in a month from now, no one's going to give a shit. Like, we're sitting here talking about this and he's just going to be this guy that's on sometimes and it's going to be fine.
I don't even think it's going to last a month. I don't think it'll last a month. I think it'll be after this week and you see what they're doing with him. And I think it's just going to go, you know, fall to the wayside. I don't think it's such a big deal. I think my point, Kevin, was that, like, the height of his success was when the WWE machine could not hold down his character and the gimmick and the woo-woo-woos, and then they instantly put him with John Cena, and that got smushed. And I know he won the title at WrestleMania in a ladder match. I know he won the tag titles at WrestleMania. But I think the lasting impression to a lot of casual wrestling fans is that Long Island Iced Z gimmick, the woo-woo-woo. And I know he still did it after the peak of his career in WWE, but I think that's, like, the lasting impression that a lot of casual wrestling fans have. And I think a lot of people stop watching the WWE that are watching the AEW. Like, AEW specifically, their fan base, I think, is more of like an indie PWG. Huh. So, like, here comes this WWE guy, and you know,
but
they all were, is Kevin's point, right? Like, I mean, you got Jericho, you got Cody, you got Mock. Both of your champions have been WWE guys, you know?
And oh, all right, my man. All right, guys, we're going to curb this conversation for a little bit because, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by, in my opinion, one of the fastest rising stars in the world of professional wrestling. Guys, the guy's got so many nicknames, man. He's the new king of wrestling, first and foremost. That's a thing. He's overtime. He's the Windy City Kid, one of my favorite performers of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. TJ Crawford, welcome. I did the clap thing, Matt. I'm sorry. TJ, how are you? Do you have your microphone on, TJ? I think we got you.
Okay, we're just going to take these headphones off.
There we go.
There we are. TJ Crawford, that was a great intro I just gave you, too.
Look. I had the headphones on. I thought the microphone was working. My bad.
Dude, it's all good, man. You're here with myself, who obviously you know very well. Matt is here as well, and Kate is here. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I won the Synergy Crown, so I'm on top of the world right now.
you're the king. Like you are the king of wrestling, man.
Now, it's my understanding that your original opponent wasn't available. Miss Casey Catal, she was not there? Do I stand incorrect?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a three-way with me, Casey, and Ellis. And then Casey wasn't feeling well, so we didn't want to risk having her on the show. And it ended up being me and Ellis one-on-one. So I was prepared for a triple threat match. Like, I was going into it thinking that we were going to have a three-way, and then Things change, but.
So does Casey get the first shot at this title?
I mean, I don't know, she's not going to get the first shot, but like she'll get a shot eventually.
All right, TJ, let me ask you this real quick. What's life like for a pro wrestler during quarantine? It's got to be tough. I mean, things are starting to move a little bit now, but for a while it had to have been tough for you because I feel like you were just hitting your stride, getting booked like every weekend, this and that, and then all of a sudden this hits, and it had to crush you. But how have you been making the most out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sucks because like you said, I was picking up a little bit of momentum, but. I was like, once quarantine hit, I kind of just took the time to reevaluate like the style that I wrestle and the way I look and everything like that. And just kind of, my goal was to come out of this looking different, wrestling different, just being a completely different like performer than I was before. So, and I think I'm doing a good job, but I don't.
I'm pretty sure you are, man. And I'm sure once things get back to, I guess, the new normal, you'll be fine. I see you're picking up a lot of stuff. Russell Pro is coming back in August. But when I have people like you on, I say people like you, because I've seen literally probably every match that you've had, at least in one venue in Rahway, New Jersey. So it makes me happy on a personal level to see how far people have become and how they've developed and how they've recreated themselves in so many different ways. How do you do that? Like, how do you work on yourself, whether it's physical shape or whether it's character development, things of that nature? How do you do that?
I mean, again, it's different for everybody. But for me personally, it's just I like to like I know people don't like watching themselves back when they wrestle. They don't like watching their matches back. I'll watch my match back like 100 times within the first like day of getting the footage because I want like. I critique myself. I'm very hard on myself. I don't think anything I do is good. So like it kind of motivates me when I watch myself wrestle and I'm able to see the things that I did wrong, or I watch it with somebody else and they can pick out the things that I did wrong. And then, but I mean, you can have people tell you what you did wrong all day, but it's all about like applying it next time around. So, I think it's just take whatever criticism in, apply it, and that's like the only way you're going to get better.
And we are on the line with independent wrestler TJ Crawford, TJC Wrestling on the social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram. He has a pro wrestling tee store at prowrestlingtees.com/overtime. TJ Crawford, happy to have him on. And when everyone starts out with like their quote unquote home promotion, and then you start seeing them get booked elsewhere, how does that process work? Is it them noticing you? Is it your trainers reaching out to other companies? Is it you reaching out to other companies? How does that work?
Especially for me, and when I was with the Beach Bums, we kind of just any time that WrestlePro did a ring rental, we would always make sure we were there and had our stuff on us just in case. I guess when you're first starting out, it kind of is just like. People put in the word for you, your trainer's kind of letting somebody know that you're ready to wrestle on more shows. Two guys that helped us out a lot were Team Espana. They kind of took us under their wing and let us travel with them kind of everywhere that they were going. And if it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't have been at like most of the places that we ended up at.
That's pretty horrifying because they've done the show and they've been in studio and they're very wild and unpredictable individuals, especially when the alcohol starts flowing and the conversation goes off the rail. You went from wrestling almost full time to the quarantine and then you just got back in there for Synergy. Is ring rust a real thing?
Yeah, 100%. Like, so I was able to get in the ring a few times before the Synergy show. So I was able to kind of knock off some of that rust beforehand, but the first time I got in a ring after like a few months, 100% ring rust was there, like no doubt.
Take you back to that first bump, and you were like, "God damn it, what am I doing to myself?"
I remember I hit the ropes. The first the ropes, I had a big bruise on my back, it happened again after the 3 months of not doing it. So, like, that was fun. I got to deal with that for a little while.
Kate, go ahead.
No, okay. I was just going to say, you said that you were looking to emerge a different wrestler and to emerge with a different look. What does that mean to you, kind of? Like, what is different about pre-quarantine TJ and now post-quarantine TJ?
Well, for starters, I know everyone's not going to be able to see, but I did dye my hair blonde, so that's different. But mostly just kind of, like, get... Yeah, blonde hair is the way to go. I love the blonde hair now. but I just kind of, you know, I was getting in decent shape before quarantine happened, but I wanted to come out of it in the best shape possible, especially because I had so much free time. I had no excuse not to get in shape and not to eat healthy. And, like, I mean, there was times where I wanted to pig out like crazy, but going home to Chicago during the once lockdown started, kind of, that really helped me because I was able to get back to, you know, my parents and my home-cooked meals and all that. So it was easier to stay on track.
And you definitely put yourself in the best possible position to get in shape. Total evolution from when you first started, clearly, which is commendable. Let's talk about real quick about the Beach Bums. You guys did some stuff with Impact, correct? Mm-hmm. And it was a good gimmick. It was fun. It was fun to watch, entertaining, incredible stuff. And then I don't know if it was injuries to, you know, to Freddie or, you know, or Sean not wanting to do this anymore, but was there any more legs to the Beach Bums, or was it just, was it time for you to do something else? How did that whole process develop?
I mean, I think the character and the gimmick definitely ran its course. Like, there was only so much you could be able to do with that. And once Sean left, like, because Sean started around the same time I did. He started a week after I did. So I have that bond with him where we started this together. And I legitimately wanted to, like, go as far as possible with him as, like, a tag partner. You know, if that meant we got signed as a tag team, like, I would have been 100% behind that. But he was having problems in his personal life. He was getting married.
That's a big problem.
You know, I mean other things. I can't say that because his wife is she's a good one. I enjoy her company, so I can't bash his wife like that.
Me and Matt actually went to a hockey game with what was his Brody?
Yeah, Brody.
We went to a Devils game with him.
Oh yes, I actually do remember that.
Yeah, good dude. So anyway, go on with
But yeah, so like once he kind of stopped wrestling, I knew that me and Freddie weren't, we were friends. We weren't like great friends like how me and Sean were. So I knew that it was only a matter of time before we weren't going to be tagging anymore. And then it was kind of me. I'm the one who kind of initiated us like not really being a team anymore. And I know he wasn't a fan of it to start, but. You know, I think everything worked out for the best in the end.
And now you're overtime, you're TJ Crawford, fellow Bulls fan.
Of course.
So that's killer. Matt shaking his head. Matt, why are you shaking your head?
Well, TJ's from, I'm assuming from Chicago, from the earlier conversations about him going home. You, I don't even know, little Kevin Garifo, he's making cutout armbands for Owen Hart and he's cheering for Michael Jordan. Come on, man.
I was a front runner.
At least you admit it.
Yeah. Total bandwagon. I was a bandwagon fan of all my teams until I was old enough to, like, learn about sports. So, but the Bulls I just stuck with for some reason. Because, like, the Nets were garbage until, like, Jason Kidd got there. So, like.
I mean, true.
What's that?
That's true. The Nets were pretty garbage.
Yeah. I mean, I had season tickets to the Jets. So, I'm like, why am I a Cowboys fan when I have tickets to the Jets? So I was a Jets, so I became a Jets fan, and then the Yankees were. I was a Blue Jays fan, man.
You're like better off.
A Blue Jays fan.
You know why?
I'm not even mad about it.
That's a realist, you know. Light being a Yankees fan does not equate to real life. You, in real life, guess what? You don't always fucking win, okay? I had to watch the fucking Yankees game last night, and I had to listen to two fucking asshole Yankee fans complain about the possibility of maybe losing their second game. Meanwhile, I got fucking Yoannis Cespedes. He's getting $25 million a year, and he's too fucking lazy to tell anybody he's going home. He's fucking MIA yesterday. Don't get me started, you fucking Yankee fans with your bullshit.
Listen.
Don't shut your fucking mouth. Shut up, Kate.
You don't always win in life, Matt. You also don't always lose, voluntary Mets and Dolphins fan, for some reason. TJ, Chicago's obviously a huge wrestling town. I think it's awesome that you trained here on the East Coast, because I am a Jersey homer. But can you talk to us a little bit about Chicago wrestling scene and obviously some of the incredible influences that came out of there?
Yeah, I mean, like, so growing up, I wasn't a huge fan of, like, the independents. I didn't really know about, like, about independent wrestling at all. And at one of the places where I used to play basketball at, Ring of Honor used to run there, like, pretty much every single weekend. And I would always see the posters, but I never went to a show once. And, like, looking back at it now, I'm pretty upset because I could have seen, like, you know, guys like CM Punk and Colt Cabana and all these guys, you know, before they became, like, bigger names. But, yeah, like, when I really got into wrestling was around 2007. So CM Punk was kind of – he just kind of got into the WWE. And I latched onto him pretty quick because, like, especially him being from Chicago, every time I would go, he's, like, the only guy I'm really, like, cheering for besides Rey Mysterio. But – so yeah, just like, if I can style myself if there any wrestler, it would be CM Punk. I would try to, like, as much as I want to be the first TJ Crawford, I would love to be like the next CM Punk.
Matt, I mean, TJ, I wasn't like shaking my head at you. I was shaking my head at Kate, because Kate is a huge, huge CM Punk fan, and she just, like, you just basically won her over.
It's like written in law. I have to be.
Well, and you, I'm sure if you're anything like I was, like, I started watching wrestling in 2009, and there wasn't, like, a ton of super exciting stuff happening until that pipe bomb. It was just kind of John Cena beating everyone. So you were watching around that time, like, Punk is that kind of the Austin moment for us, I guess, like, in that new wave, which I think is pretty indelible when you're watching for the first time. But that's awesome. So what made you come train out here?
So I wanted the experience of, like, not being at home. I wanted the experience of, like, of being away from home, knowing that if I were to ever make it to the WWE or make it to any big time company, that I wouldn't be home often. I wouldn't be able to see family as often as possible. So I figured, why not start out that way? This way I get used to it in case that becomes my life down the line. And I was originally born in New Jersey, so I did have family that I was able to live with and able to kind of make sure that I had, like, somewhere to stay and I wasn't just living in my car.
And TJ, like I said before, I've seen probably as many matches that we had a monitor backstage for of yours. And I remember tweeting once, it was like you, I don't remember, it was a tag match. It was either you and Freddie against maybe Craig and Warren, Big Deal and Mike Jenkins, I guess. And I remember saying that you and Warren were probably the two best, like, athletes I've seen, like, wrestling in a very long time, especially on the independent scene. And that's not me being a homer. It was legit what I thought. How do you keep yourself? Obviously you have the background in basketball, you're a big basketball player. But other than that, how does that translate to wrestling in terms of your athletic ability? And, you know, I remember you did a shooting star off somebody's back or something like something like that. How does that happen and how do you maintain that?
I did play basketball, like, my whole life growing up, but when I played baseball, I was a catcher, so I have, like, just that natural leg strength to be able to, like, jump a little bit, I guess. But I also did taekwondo when I was a kid, so the flexibility for training with that definitely helped in wrestling, and like knowing how to stretch my body the right way to be able to like move that in that like I guess quick pace wrestling. So yeah, just like doing Taekwondo as a kid definitely was like the biggest help with that.
So you said 2007 you became a wrestling fan?
Yeah.
So you're just a baby.
Yes.
Right. God, this is just, as we continue to do this podcast, the guests get younger and I get older. So I don't know
I'm only 23.
You're fucking
oh my God. You're
awful.
Only 23.
Why would you say that to us?
I'm trying to think if
Kate's like 47.
Is that the reason why you never came out drinking with us? After?
Yeah. For the first year or two that I was wrestling, I would never came out drinking because I just wasn't of age. I started when I was 18. That was when I started training when I was 18.
What was the moment where you said, this is what I want to do?
Oh, I remember watching WrestleMania 23. It was the Money in the Bank ladder match. And Jeff Hardy jumped off the ladder onto Edge on the outside. And right there, I was like, yep, I'm going to do that for the rest of my life.
Yep, I'm going to kill myself.
Pretty much. I was like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I want to do that.
Now, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done in the ring?
Probably the steamroller off the top of the ladder.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was at Synergy against Aaron Bradley. We did the like rolling DVD off the top of the ladder through a bunch of chairs.
Any long-term effects from that? Are you good?
Luckily not, but I mean, we'll see down the line.
Well, let's talk Synergy then. Congratulations on your victory. What was that experience like for you? Do you have your eyes set on any other Synergy talent in particular that you're looking forward to defending against?
Will Colin West sing Alanis Morissette to you?
Probably. But no, winning the Synergy, the Cruiserweight Crown was a really cool moment. You know, Colin gave me a chance about a year and a half ago. Somebody had gotten injured and he needed an opponent for Matt McIntosh, who I'm really good friends with and somebody who helped me train. And I kind of at that point I was just breaking off from the beach bum. So I was trying to get my name out there as much as possible. And I just took the most of that opportunity because I knew that Synergy could be such a bigger place than it was at the time. Just from the talent that was there, like I knew in my mind that like it could be so much bigger than it was, and like I'm happy that I've been able to be there for a decent amount of the time to like help build the promotion up. But Collins has done a great job with just keeping everything in track and bringing the right guys in and doing. I give him all the credit in the world because he's doing everything right now. So it was cool to win the Cruiserweight Crown, and it's kind of validation for like putting in some hard work at a place to help it grow.
Now you call yourself the Cruiserweight Scumbag, and then Brandon Kirk is just a scumbag. So how do you guys deal with that in the locker room?
Well, you know, he'll be the heavyweight scumbag, and I'll be the Cruiserweight Scumbag. You know, we could just run roughshod all over the place.
So you go from wrestling in front of a full packed crowd, with WrestlePro and CZW and beyond, and then you transition into this first show, since you went into quarantine. Is the energy different or does it not matter because everybody's been cooped up for so long that just for them to get out and see live independent pro wrestling, they probably lose their fucking mind. Like, did you know that it was not a full house or was the energy just there?
The energy was there. I mean, even from the first Synergy show that they did July 11th, like we just did a promo in the ring, and just from that, the crowd was electric. There was probably only like 40 people there, but it felt like there was like 300 people because they were so energetic the entire time. And then especially for the Garden State Invitational show, they were really really hot crowd. So it wasn't the most amount of people, but they made it feel like it was a stadium packed.
And TJ, we spent a whole lot of time putting over your in-ring ability, and it's something that I totally didn't even think about is you on the microphone. How have you developed that way, getting more promo time?
So, especially in the Beach Bums, I didn't have to really talk that much because Freddie was the mouthpiece. Freddie wrote all the promos out. Freddie, like, he was on top of that, so I didn't really have to worry about that, like, skill set. And especially once I became a singles wrestler, but I wasn't doing the tag team stuff anymore, it was, I knew I needed to work on that. And then I just kind of never did. I kind of only focused on in-ring stuff. So during lockdown, during quarantine, I really took time to think about, like, if I was in a certain situation, how would I react physically, but how would I react verbally? I'm trying to just not portray a character and just whatever would normally come out of my mouth, I'm just gonna say it, because it's gonna be the most natural thing I'm gonna say. So.
A dead air rocks and rolls.
We were going so hot too. We were going so hot.
So TJ, you've shared the ring with a who's who, especially a lot of young and up and comers in the world of pro wrestling. Chris Statlander, Casey Navarro, Matt McIntosh, Rich Swann from Impact. I know you guys did a little 3-way dance. Do you have a favorite opponent that you've gotten the opportunity to work with?
Favorite opponent is hard to say, because everybody, it's a different match every single time. It's a different opponent. It's a different style. And I like mixing and matching styles. But I really enjoyed when I got to wrestle Anthony Green at the Return to Railway show back in September. That was the first time we had teamed up about like 6 months before that. And that was the first time we ever got to wrestle each other in any sort of like way. No, we'd never done like a six-man or like a six-way together. So the first time we got to wrestle one-on-one, and that was really cool. Anthony Bowens is someone who, like, I wrestle him every single day, and I get to wrestle him on August 22nd. So,
TJ, you beat me right to it, my man. We'll let you go after this. The last time, I believe it was the last time you wrestled Anthony Bowens, was in Union, and that's where we'll be fighting him again, August 22nd in Union. That match was by far the match of the night, maybe match of the year. What are you looking forward to about working with him again, especially in an outdoor show, social distance show? Another one of these first time evers kind of deals, even though it's not the first time you wrestled him, but it's going to be a unique atmosphere. What are you looking forward to about that match, just because it's Bowens?
I just want to top what we did last year. It's like, you know, last year when we got to wrestle, I was not mentally prepared for it. I had some problems in my personal life at that time, and knowing that I got to wrestle Bowens, who's not only a great friend in wrestling, but he's family to me. You know, his mom grew up with my dad. His uncle and my uncles are friends. So, like, yeah, I consider him more family than I consider a lot of people who actually are my family. So getting to wrestle him last year around this time was exactly what I needed, and getting a chance to wrestle him again 1 year later, and we're both completely different than we were last year. So I'm looking to top what we did, and I know the big money match is Janela versus Myers, but I'm stealing the show.
Look, nobody wants to see those two, okay? They want to see TJ Crawford, and they want to see Anthony Bowens. Because they both got hefty, fancy contracts, okay? Their bump cards are pretty much full. They can't be getting hurt working at WrestlePro. So, you know, they're there. They're the sizzle. They're the sizzle. But you guys, TJ Crawford and Anthony Bowens, that's where the money's at. I always ask this because I'm always fascinated by wrestlers, especially ones who are fans. Have you had that moment where you're in the locker room and you're taping up, you're getting dressed, and here, you know, you're sharing a locker room with somebody that you grew up watching? Has there been that moment? Because I know, especially working in WrestlePro, they bring in a lot of big stars that may have recently left the WWE or Impact or wherever they were from. Have you had that moment? And with whom?
Yeah, it was the first Railway show that I'd ever done. It was us versus Taboo Crew, and the Hardys were on the show. Again, like I said, Jeff Hardy was basically created the moment that made me want to be a wrestler. So seeing him in a locker room was really, really cool. So yeah, that's Rikishi, when I got to team up with Rikishi, that was really, really cool. But the Jeff Hardy one was probably the most like starstruck that I've been.
I think that was a bad moment for me because that was at Starland, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure I screwed up the music at the end.
No, Rikishi, after the match, tells Sean to get him a microphone. And we give him a microphone. He cuts like a 15-minute promo, and we get to the back. And everyone's yelling at us, and we go up to Pat, and we're like, we're so sorry. We didn't know he was going to cut a promo after. And he's like, he's a Hall of Famer. What are you going to do? So we were relieved that we didn't get the backlash for that.
That was so funny, man. That was so great.
TJ, are you jonesing for when things get back to normal, doing like, you know, the weekend where you drive 6 hours to each venue for, you know, a 15-minute? The face you just made tells me you don't enjoy that, but I don't know. I feel like something like if you're in the car with the right people, it doesn't feel like such a long drive.
It's definitely got to be with the right people.
And what's the now? Are you in charge of the radio? Are you sleeping? What's your role in the car? Are you the driver?
So most of the time, I'm the driver. But if I'm not the driver, then I'm in the back seat sleeping.
What are the rules of the road? If you're the driver. Are you in, do you tell the guy riding shotgun, like, this is what I want to hear. I don't want to listen to whatever goofy shit you're listening to. What are the rules of the road? I got to know, because I'm very big on the road trips.
If I'm driving and I'm not playing my own playlist on my phone and I got the radio going, I got Sirius XM in my car, channel 37, Octane, heavy metal for the entire drive.
Awesome. Let's talk about heavy metal here for a minute, because this fucking jobber, Francis Wright, formerly Frantic, this fucking piece of trash garbage wrestler, he fucking was on this show a couple weeks ago. Don't make a face, Kate, because he was spewing all this nonsense about the Illuminati. He's going to clean up the wrestling world. And I was like, but whatever. And then he besmirched the good name of Iron Maiden. And that's where the whole interview just fell apart.
Yeah, I can see where we go off the rails there.
He wears a fucking tinfoil hat. What are you doing, cuz? You're out. Get out of here. So what's on the playlist? What's the first thing we're going to hear? We get in the car. We're going to fucking Chicago with TJ Crawford. The Shining Wizards and TJ Crawford are taking the 12-hour drive to Chicago.
Better have some beers.
You got a mix of AC/DC, Metallica, Shinedown, Volbeat. Man, I put on Ozzy Osbourne. I got a Black Sabbath CD in my car. I have Kiss Greatest Hits in my car.
We're in.
I've already mentioned AC/DC. I have like 4 AC/DC CDs. Yeah, I know I'm 23 and I like to listen to CDs.
I love it. Well, whatever, dude. I don't give a fuck.
I still have CDs, man.
You could be if you were listening to fucking cassette tapes and you named all those bands, I wouldn't give a shit as long as you're listening to those bands. So I'm in. I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. I'm in the car with TJ. I'll ride shotgun. I got a good playlist. Throw some fucking tunes on. Don't let Kate, though. Kate put some weird fucking... Don't make that face, Kate. You fucking recommended some sleepy-ass fucking weird instrumental shit.
Matt asked for a very specific subgenre of metal, and then I gave him exactly what he asked for, and he complained about it, because that's what he does.
I didn't ask for a fucking coma.
You kind of did. You asked for, like, instrumental prog metal, which is, like, not a coma. TJ, I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
She's going to ask you about your donkey. Look out.
I'm not going to... Would you stop? I'm going to ask you, hypothetically, if there was a trivia contest between Kevin and I later in the show, and I beat him last week, just so that you have a full context. You know Kevin a little bit.
She didn't beat me. I beat myself, TJ.
Dirtiest player in the game over here. You know how it goes. Who do you think would win... between Kevin and I.
You did a trivia? It depends what the trivia is on.
Well, we kind of don't know. It's just getting... It's all wrestling trivia, but it's just getting revealed to us at the time. I won't be offended if you're wrong and choose Kevin.
Now, just think, as you look at the pictures on the screen, Kate looks like she's got an adult setup here. She's got a couch. Kevin looks like he's in a KB toy store, in the basement of a KB toy store. So take those into account. See, and then there's Kate's dog, his Buster. He's got a giant. Oh, and Kate's got a title. Buster's going to eat the title.
Well, he's a champion. I might have to give her the edge on there. But
thank you.
We'll go, Kate, because we got to go to blonde hair, got to stick together.
There it is. Thank you. Wow. Now. Let's go.
Wow, Kevin. Kevin, I didn't see that coming. I thought he was going right.
I mean, neither did I. I see the guy once a month for the last God knows how many years. And
4.5 years.
Listen. The guy's honest. What do you want from me?
I mean, you don't get the nickname Cruiserweight Scumbag, Windy City Kid, if you're looking to please the fans. He's got to look out for himself. So a win for Kate, that's a notch in TJ's belt. He just is another thing I did right.
Well, let's just hope this game doesn't go into overtime.
Oh,
TJ, we want to thank you very much for joining us. TJ Crawford, you can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at TJC Wrestling. His pro wrestling tee store is prowrestlingtees.com/overtime. TJ Crawford, big sale happening tomorrow, 20% off using the code summertime, August 22nd in Union, New Jersey, the Columbian Club. I will see you then, my friend. Him versus Anthony Bowens for the WrestlePro Gold Championship. TJ, anything you want to leave us with, anything you want to leave your fans with, your family, anyone that's listening right now, what do you got for them?
Man, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's ever supported me over the past 4.5 years. Here's to 4.5 more, and hopefully a long career ahead of time. Very heavy metal horns up. Awesome. Guys, thank you for having me on.
My pleasure, my friend. Good to see you again, as always. Let's go Chicago Bulls, even though they're not in this thing.
It's always next year. That's what, right. I always say.
All right, brother.
You have a good one.
Take it easy.
TJ, thank you so much, everyone. TJ Crawford, give him a follow again over on the social medias at TJC Wrestling on Twitter and Instagram. And if you are in the northeastern area as wrestling and things hopefully start to open up again, like we mentioned, WrestlePro has a show on the 22nd. I know Synergy just announced they're doing an outdoor show called Heat Seekers, I believe, on the 29th. So things are going to slowly start to open up, hopefully, as long as you wear your mask and don't act like a fool. Then maybe we'll get to go to live wrestling shows. We got a shitload more to cover tonight. We got some more. We'll talk a little more AEW. New Japan dropped a couple bombshells this week. The XFL is backed. XFL is back. Kevin watched Impact last week.
It is backed.
The NXT's got some stuff going on. WWE has got some interesting announcements, and there's some new signings, one of which we mentioned during that interview with Mr. TJ Crawford. So we'll cover all that and more. Plus, Kevin's got a top five list. We got, can you top that? Kate's going to defend her championship belt. That
was never a championship. It was never supposed to be a championship. It was a gimmick between you, me, and Tony.
I mean, she's got a belt, though, bro. She's got a belt. She went to fucking Belts by Dan, and she got a belt made. Kevin might have Buster on the payroll. He tried to eat the belt, so who knows?
Yeah, I did just take a bite. Thankfully, it's definitely not made of construction paper. It's certainly actual material, so he didn't get very far with it, but he did.
Everybody's got a price, Kate.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, so much more here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown, your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS, just news and uncensored opinions everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
And we're back. We want to take this time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And if you want to be a member of this wonderful, wonderful community, you can head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for as little as $1, that's right, $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And as you pledge more dinero to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, you get more perks. For $3 a month, you get a watch-along. Tony just put out a watch-along where he watched another WWE CW episode from Trenton, New Jersey. I think this was from the beginning of ECW. So if you want to watch the episode or just listen to Tony talk about it, you get that perk. Once a month, we send you a watch-along. $5 a month gets you everything from the $1 tier and the $3 tier. Plus, we'll plug your social media or your website or whatever is appropriate for the Shining Wizards. And then $10 a month. After 3 months, we then send you a box of wizardry, and that includes all sorts of fun stuff, DVDs, T-shirts, exclusive stickers from Jedi Jack Yeti, stuff from Cheap Shot Party, stuff from The Violent Miracle. All these guys are great, great mom-and-pop shops that deal in wrestling stuff, and they do unbelievable things, so definitely check those guys out. And again, if you like what we're doing here, join our Patreon. We're going to take this time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards on our Patreon. Kathy Hummer, Manny Carrazzo, AOP, Danny and Anthony Rusinello, Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. That's ALEMENTARY.com. Great local brewery here in New Jersey, especially in the Bergen County area. In Hackensack, they can also be found in ShopRite and all over the place. New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, maybe Pennsylvania. You never know. Ryan is hard at work. Sean Toe and Sean Calejo, Brett Simonello, Kate the Great Hensler over here from OnDeckIC.com. And if you're looking for a jingle, you have some kind of business that needs a song or just needs great someone to represent you, Kate is the head of On Deck IC, and if she's not, I just made her the head of On Deck IC, and she's got a great staff that'll work with you to produce awesome jingles and all sorts of knickknacks for whatever your business needs to help it become the best, just like the Shining Wizards and On Deck IC. Not as good as when Tony does it. I don't have the flair that Tony does, and I apologize, Kate, but it's also hard when you're looking at me and judging me from the words coming out of my mouth, so exactly, I don't do well under pressure. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Matt Mellinger, maybe a disciple of Kate the Great. We don't know yet. Christine Friesendorf, Mark Parlone, who is celebrating a birthday just recently passed. So,
look at this guy.
Mark, happy birthday. Keep tagging us on those Twitter posts because that's what I love. Kenny Hawsey, the Scotch Drinkmore. Jay Kopp, Big Kopp of Pump, the only person worth a shit on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Appreciate your support since the other two idiots don't want to support us. Thomas Copps, the Moot Spock. Usually it's Mott Spock. That's where Tony yells at me. So he's doing great things. He's in our Discord. He's crushing DDP yoga. Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III. He's got a pal, Antonio Hauserman, and he makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, our friend over there on the Twitter machine, the true prince of pro. Give him a follow. He's great, especially if you need to be kept updated on the independent pro wrestling scene in Pittsburgh. He's very knowledgeable about that. TJ Vegas, a new member of the Patreon. And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
100% know what you mean, Kevin. Again, if you want to support the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, or also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Wizards Podcast. And we mentioned it during the TJ Crawford interview. Pro Wrestling Tees has a mega summer sale going on starting Tuesday, April 4th. Use the code SUMMERTIME at checkout. Save 20% off all your purchase. Anything over $150, you get a free mask, Pro Wrestling Tees mask. And you can pick up some Shining Wizards gear over at prowrestlingtees.com/Shining Wizards. Many different designs there. Check them out. We appreciate the support. Back to the wrestling talk and the talk about wrestling over here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I think maybe we just put a little bow on the AEW stuff. We got a big weekend, big week coming up. Dark is stacked again. It's got the Butcher and the Blade taking on Private Party. Scorpio Sky is in action. The Initiative, which is Brandon Cutler and Peter Avalon, take on Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. The Gun Club takes on Aaron Solo and Serpentico. And Abaddon takes on Kylie King. So not as big of a Dark show as it was last week, but still a lot going on in Dark. And as we're doing this show, the AEW Women's tag title, tag cup thing is happening. The episode already dropped on YouTube, and that featured Nyla Rose and Ariana. Is that how you say her dumb name?
Ariane. I think it's just Ariane.
And they took on Anna Jay and the recently released NXT member, Tanara. Am I saying that right? Tanara Conti?
Taya Conti.
So so that Taya? Is...
I think it's Tainara. T-A-Y-N-A-R-A, I think.
T-A-Y-N... Yes, Tanara. I know Jericho mentioned it Saturday night on his Facebook live show. So I don't know. I'm sure he cleared it with the AEW brass, but that's the first match that they featured on the Tag Team Cup Challenge. So that's on YouTube. So you can watch that now. I think I'm going to check that out later tonight and just see. I think it's just the only match on there. So that's that. We covered. So
there's only one match on the YouTube special or whatever
I think so. I don't want to speak out of turn. It's the only match that's been announced. So there might be another one. They might be doing two a week. I really don't know. Dynamite stacked this week. Cardona, we mentioned him and Cody take on 3 and 4. The 12-man match features the Young Bucks, Paige and Hangman, and FTR against Colt, Brody, Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, Alan Angels, who's 5, and Vance Preston, who's 10.
That makes it sound like they're 5 and 10 years old. Alan Angels is 5 today.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Jericho and Orange Cassidy will have their debate with a special moderator, which if you have been looking at the sheets, you know who the moderator is, but I do not want to spoil it for...
Wait, it's been confirmed?
Yes.
I had an interesting guess before I guess the confirmation. I thought, you know who I thought it was going to be?
Yes, tell me.
I thought like maybe like Lance Storm would have been a good one.
I hate this new soundboard.
Because like Jericho made a comment about WWE releasing him, and I thought maybe Lance Storm coming in, he could have been a good moderator. Moderatesky, if you will.
That is an excellent, excellent guess, Kevin.
But we all know that it's not him.
But it is not him. I can't find the buzzer.
Are you going to boo me? Or
I was going to use the buzzer, the wrong buzzer. I should actually have these ready for the game.
Well, you can't use the wrong buzzer if we're not going to say who it actually is, because you don't know if I'm wrong.
That's a good buzzer. I know you're wrong, because I know who it is.
All right, well, then that's a spoiler.
I know. I'm not going to spoil it, though. Now I need to find this. There it is, wrong buzzer. I got to get that ready for the game.
I got to say, we went through last week's whole episode, and we didn't even talk about Brian Myers going to Impact, and I feel like we should.
Well, here's the thing, Kate. We record on Monday nights, and Brian Myers showed up on Tuesday.
It was announced on Monday, though, right? Because we knew.
It was 2 Mondays ago. We mentioned it, I think, right?
No, you didn't mention it.
But briefly in passing, I actually think I think what Impact is doing is kind of awesome. Like, I'm excited to see all of these guys in the specific environment where I feel like in AEW it would have been like, oh, WWE light, where I think Impact might be a good home for like a Brian Myers and for a Heath Miller Slater, whoever he is. Like, I don't know. I feel like it gives them a place to bust out of their shell a little bit without like dumb WWE and AEW fandom like ruining it.
I said a few weeks ago when this happened that I thought that a lot of these guys would end up in Impact.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, and it's cool. I especially like the rebuilding of their tag division. I think that's a really cool use of talent over there.
Tag division is huge, and I'll give AEW credit on their tag division. Their tag division, they put a whole lot of emphasis on their tag division, so that's cool. But yeah, going back to these debuts, EC3. I mean, all these guys have history with TNA.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, it's cool because I feel like they get to reinvent the wheel, but there's like a continued story there at the same time. Like, it feels like a fitting home for a lot of these guys, which I really like. I'm happy about.
And going back to Brian, and I feel like every time I mention him, I get made fun of, which is why I try not to. But I thought if NWA was still around, I think Brian would have been a perfect fit for NWA Power. Like, absolute perfect there. But super happy he's with Impact. He's super happy he's in Impact. Because, you know, he's my dear, good personal friend. You guys know that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Before we get too deep into the Impact talk, because I do want to talk about last week's episode of Impact, there is some interesting stuff going on with AEW that was announced today. Because of the NBA playoff schedule, they are moving Dynamite quite a bit. The August 19th episode will air Saturday, August 22nd at 6 p.m. In the spot that was once occupied by NWA and WCW for decades. It also happens to be the same night as NXT TakeOver 30.
Oh, they're going to load that show up, baby.
Well, what I'm hearing is that the August 26th episode, which is will take place whenever the NBA games are done airing, and then Thursday, August 27th, will be a new episode of Dynamite. So you're going to get 4 hours of Dynamite in 2 days, and those are supposed to be loaded up shows.
All right. I mean, yeah, that's awesome. Makes sense to load them up when you're going unopposed. I just figured it'd be like such a move, like a page out of WWE's playbook to load up a show against your competition. But it's not really your competition if it's not the night you were supposed to air anyway. So
right, and it's not like it's going. You know, if you have basic cable, you can watch AEW. If you have the network, you can watch.
Yeah,
it's not like
right.
It's on USA. And then September 16th episode will air September 17th, and they will also do their countdown to All Out on September 2nd. So some schedule changes that will affect the Wednesday night show, and obviously our wrestling habits, watching, as everyone gets comfortable watching wrestling on Wednesday night. At least you won't have to choose. You can actually watch. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that watch NXT and AEW. You just don't have to choose which one to watch live during these changes. You can actually watch NXT live and then watch, AEW whenever they have those rescheduled days. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on. I'm surprised, and Anthony brought it up, why they just don't put it on, like, TNT.
Yeah.
It is on TNT.
On TBS.
TBS,
like
excuse me.
Else under, like, the Turner umbrella. I agree. I hate that they're doing that.
I guess you don't want to run against your own, you don't want to take those potential 18 to 49 viewers who watch AEW that also might watch basketball.
Yeah, but well, you've got nothing better to do on a Saturday.
Well, here's the thing with that. When March Madness happens, they're all over every single Turner network you can imagine. They're on True TV. They're on games. They're on, you know, True TV, CBS. They're on like the Court Network.
Yes, but outside of the first round, everything takes place Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sure.
Wednesday night's the only play-in night.
Do you really want your wrestling show on True TV?
No.
Exactly.
No, but on TBS. Like, I don't know. I think they're going to get their asses handed to them from NXT TakeOver, but I also don't really give a shit about ratings.
But that's not a rating thing. NXT TakeOver is going to be a special that's going to be on the network, so there's no rating system there.
You can't put wrestling on TBS because The Big Bang Theory has to be on for 4 hours from 7 to 11 every night. Or so you can't do that.
I didn't think of that.
Or there is Braves baseball on, too.
I was thinking about that, too. Have there been games on TBS?
I have no idea. I have zero. If there's one baseball team I don't want to fucking see, it's the fucking Atlanta Braves.
And oh, but you already saw them, and they already smoked
in that fucking cesspool that is Atlanta. Just send everybody to Atlanta so they don't get fucking COVID-19.
Baseball's going to shut down in 5 minutes from now anyway, so I'm not really concerned about that. What that's going to be.
But you know it's not shutting down 5 minutes from now? Impact Wrestling. And they did a great job last week. I enjoyed what I saw. I think the Wrestler House thing is hysterical.
Great.
I loved the fucking... I don't like Katie Forbes, but that shit with Sami Callihan where he put his head on all her pictures had me fucking howling.
That's all Callihan.
And that's just setting up, like, Sami Callihan, RVD, that's a fucking awesome feud.
RVD's the heel.
Yeah. the stuff with Moose and EC3, thumbs up to that. All the stuff with Eddie Edwards and Eric Young. I really like what they're doing over there in Impact. Motor City Machine Guns. That's awesome. The stuff with the Good Brothers. They made their debut last week. And on a side note, and I haven't watched it yet. No. Did you?
I was going to, but I didn't. It's cheap enough where you could probably do it.
Yeah, the Talking Shop-a-Mania. Talking Shop-a-Mania, I heard was hysterical. It's on my list of things to watch in the next couple of days. I'm hoping I get a rain out on the truck and I can get, you know, 90 minutes to watch it. But, Kevin, you sat through Impact last week, and I know it was a week ago, and I know you forget everything, but
that's right.
Anything that you took away from it? I know we see another Brian Myers vignette, and we're not exactly sure what role Brian is playing yet because he's yet to be in a ring, but talk to us.
You know what's funny about that? That is the one segment I didn't see. that's the one part of Impact I didn't. Like, I don't know if I was on another like window on my computer. I didn't see it. But that the Impact posts, like, literally seconds after something airs, Impact tweets it. So you could catch up on it pretty. Wrestle House is hysterical. Kylie Rae was funny in a referee role. In terms of like. The Good Brothers, I mean, they were facing, I believe it was Reno Scum.
Scum, yes.
So you kind of knew what was happening with them, what they were going to do. Matt, you're right. My memory is killing me. But, I mean, I watched it. Let's see what else
Moose
happened.
Wrestled Fala.
That was last week?
I believe so.
I don't think it was. Was it? Oh, that, you know what? That opened the show. That opened the show. Yeah, I think you're right. But Fala had a good backstage segment with TJP, and Fala's hysterical. Fala's just great. And that's the one thing that I was kind of worried about with all these guys coming in, which is what you worry about all the time, is about how many spots on a TV show do you have. But I think Impact's going to do it right, especially with this funny Wrestle House thing, which is great. So you had Kylie on there. You had Johnny Swinger, who's hysterical. But yeah, Impact was a great show. That's all I'm really going to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Have you been I don't know if you guys talked about it last week. So they go – I'm going to shift gears over to NXT now. They make this big deal about Keith Lee winning both of these titles, and then the be-all, end-all of this is we're going to take the North American title off of him and turn it into like a – I get it. But, like, why even have, like – Why make him a double champion? Why didn't they just go Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan route and just, you know, he relinquishes it like the next week? Why does he have to hold it for 2 weeks before Steven Regal says, oh, we're gonna strip the North American title from him and turn it into a thing?
Yeah, that was the first comparison that I had was to the Ultimate Warrior thing. So I didn't think it was too much different. I guess if you're going to say it was a week later, then that's one thing. But, like, just why do it then? Like, exactly. I get the optic of having him hold up both belts. I get it. Warrior did it, whatever. But, like, just have him – see, now here's the other thing. Would having him lose it be more beneficial or worse than – relinquishing it, or would just defending them both be...
See, that's my problem with New Japan right now. Like, what are we doing with this evil situation? I get it. You can't get anyone in the country. We're seeing the New Japan shows focus around the same, you know, the same roster. You're not seeing anybody new being brought in. But at the same time, it's like, well, Naito was the double champion, and now Evil's the double champion. And I get it. It's COVID, and maybe we can't do anything until we get more bodies there. But I'm interested to see what the original plan was. Like, how do you work that? Like, are you going to have your IWGP heavyweight champion lose and that loss just costs him the Intercontinental Championship? Like, what's the story here? Yes, Kate, you raised your hand.
I just also think it's a huge waste of Adam Cole's reign. Like, there could have been such a payoff for a feud for him to drop the title then.
Whoa, Kate, he is in a high-profile feud now with fucking Pat McAfee.
I mean the belt. It's like you have this lengthy reign, which is what I love with NXT, is they give long reigns and there's such good storytelling that I do feel like this is a rare misstep. But I'm like, the amount of steam that belt had because you had this really long reign, the payoff should have been huge. And then it goes to Keith Lee and then it's just, but nah,
well, I think
never mind.
I think we're talking about the North American Championship. I think the World Championship was definitely worth it, and I thought that payoff was fantastic. I think our bigger concern is having the North American title be put up, and like,
yeah. I don't know, like, because isn't it more like that feels like the bigger story now to me, is like Keith Lee dropped this other title to focus on this title. Like, it just doesn't, I don't know, it all feels, I feel like the whole thing got bungled because of that. Like, it just feels wrong.
I have no problem with him. The North American title is clearly not as important as the NXT championship. So
it's close, though, Matt. It's close.
It's not close, okay? You're the world champion. You're the world champion.
Matt, I mean, we've seen this before with titles. Like, in your wheelhouse, buddy. Your wheelhouse. ECW, when there was a time where the TV title was almost considered the better belt than the world title.
There was one time in the history of the TV title where it was bigger than the world title, and that's when they put it on Rob Van Dam.
All right, well, that's a long time.
Yeah, but up until that point, it was just, this is the TV champion. Maybe people can make an argument for when Taz had it, but fuck him when he was the TV champion, because he was a fucking asshole, and then he brought in his own fucking fake belt anyway after he lost the world title. But
all right, but you're telling me that Johnny Gargano holding the U.S. title and Adam Cole holding the world title aren't on the same level?
No. At first, it's the North American title, not the U.S. title.
What did I say?
You said US title. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when one has both belts and you have to choose, you're going to choose the world championship.
Did he choose or was it taken away from him?
It was relinquished from him. I'm sure there was a storyline where Steven Regal said, you can have one or the other, and he chose to be the world champion because everybody strives to be the world champion in professional wrestling. I'm sorry, Kate, go ahead.
I just feel like the whole, that, like, I feel like it took that moment away from Cole and Lee so much because now the story was about the relinquishing of this other title instead of focused on the world title. Like, you had this monster reign and this really cool feud and this really awesome match, and now all of a sudden everybody's talking about the North American title and not the world title because of the relinquishment of it.
Well, I think they're two... I think they're mutually exclusive stories because now you have Keith Lee in, no matter how you feel about it, in a main event storyline for the world title with Killer Cross.
And we all know that Keith Lee is a transition. He's going to be a transitional champion.
I think only because I feel like he'll be brought up to the main roster.
That you know, he's probably better off just staying in NXT. But
which is why I don't think he better not be a transitional champ because he's I don't think anyone deserves it more than him, to be honest with you.
Look,
and the fact
that if you're going to be the longest reigning NXT champion, we need to take the title off of you and put you in a feud with the greatest kicker in all of football. Okay, that's the only thing that matters. All right,
that's not a real thing.
Triple H invited Pat McAfee. Come on down. We're gonna sit down with you two. They're 100% making it. It's a fucking the whole thing's a work. It's the fucking dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Is Adam? Remember when there was talk about Adam Cole's contract being up? He's got a little ways to go, right? Though
I think he has like another year and change. Like it's not as soon as everybody thought it was.
Yeah.
The reason all those things surfaced was because he's with Britt and he was at their like Memorial Day barbecue that AEW held. Like he re-signed like last year at some point.
They're not giving us McAfee Adam Cole, are they, Matt?
Kevin, this is it's a fucking thing, dude.
I saw the show. I saw that.
You see Triple H tweet out like, "Oh, let's get you down there, Pat, and let's have you guys sit down face to face." Like they're making it a thing. Because that's what you do with Adam Cole. All
right, here's the thing with I don't hate the premise because it's been done before, but I've seen too much of Pat McAfee to take him seriously as a wrestler.
I just don't I don't know if that's the end game here. I don't even begin to understand why he's fucking there. I don't understand him.
Because he does have that mainstream sports ESPN appeal, and he can cross audiences. It's the same reason why like Scott Stanford, it's the same reason like they bring in all these guys.
I just never when he's on the pre-shows, it's fucking bad. Like I don't understand him. I don't understand why he's there. He fucking sucks.
I mean, it's the same reason why you got my dear good friend Peter Rosenberg, our dear good friend Sam Roberts.
I have zero problem with both of them being part. Like I just think I don't know. Like, and you can't act like you're a tough football player. You're a fucking kicker, bro. You fucking kick the ball. Come on.
No, I got you. Listen, that's what. I never heard of him when he played football.
He played for the Colts. He sucked.
But when you find out that this like guy is a kicker, and you're just like, no disrespect to kickers, they're great, but you can't act all like, man. And maybe kickers are tough guys. I don't know. What do I know? But you can't act super tough in the wrestling business when you're a kicker.
I hate the whole, like, this is what, here's my problem. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, I don't watch NXT. And it's not by choice. I just don't have time. I barely have time to do the fucking podcast and keep up on all this shit. He's not the champ anymore. Like, this is what we're doing with Adam Cole now? Like, you don't have anything better for him?
This is not LT Bam Bam Bigelow.
No, it's not even on the fucking spectrum. I just don't, like, that's the, like... Keith Lee, double champion, great. It's a great story. They did a great job executing it. It was an awesome match. Again, I think he's going to be a transitional champion from what we've seen from Cross since they brought him up, the way he decimated fucking Tommaso Ciampa at NXT In Your House. Like, and you look at like the history where Ciampa was like this reigning champion before he got hurt and the stuff with Gargano. And then I just think it's like a setup for him to be – stop. God damn it. Stop it, Kat. Set up for him to win the championship. I don't see how you don't put him in that position. But to have nothing for Adam Cole just kind of is a head scratcher. Unless Adam Cole wants time off or I don't know, man. It's just like,
yeah, he hasn't been on other than that little show gimmick. He hasn't been on the NXT show, I don't think.
And I don't buy into the ratings thing, but WWE Raw the last 2 weeks has been the lowest ratings in the history of the show. That's a 20-year show. Like, you said it, I think you said it last week, Kevin. Like, this is the time where it's like, let's just try things. And if it doesn't work, at least we can be like, oh, well, our hands were tied. Why are we not? You're bringing up the Matt Riddles. There was that rumor they were bringing up Dijakovic.
Oh, Dijakovic, yeah.
And I don't think he ever made it to the main role. Like, let's bring up Adam Cole. Like, give me a shot. Like, people are like, Danny Rusinello is like super excited because they're teasing like a Big E. Singles push, which whatever. If you're behind it, great. You know, I saw the weird thing they did with Bray and Alexa the other night on SmackDown. I don't know, whatever. It just seems like this would seem like a great place where you could be like, hey, let's bring in you want to think like Matt Riddle's in a feud with fucking Baron Corbin now? Come on, what are we doing here, people?
Matt, outside of Wednesday nights, I've checked out.
All right, fair enough. How do you feel about Dexter Lumis qualifying for the ladder match, the NXT North American?
I'm a big Dexter Lumis guy. I don't think this is the right fit for him. I'd rather it go to, like, I think that was a match with Gargano and Finn.
It was Thatcher and Finn.
It was Thatcher and Finn.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So
Thatcher had Finn Balor in a leg lock, and then Lumis applied the rear naked choke.
I'd rather that position go to maybe like a Finn, because I need more from Finn, man. Like it bothers me the way that he's been used, and I get it. He's in the latter part of his career, and this and that. I need my Finn Balor back, man. Give me my Finn Balor back.
Yeah, NXT has a couple interesting. Who's Ridge Holland?
Couldn't tell you, buddy.
He's in a three-way with Damian Priest and only Lorcan next week for a qualifying spot in this ladder match.
Is he one of the Ever-Rise guys?
I have no idea. I haven't watched NXT in weeks. He's a former rugby player whose real name is Luke Menzies, is part of the NXT UK brand.
Oh, well then. Nope.
Let's see. Also Wednesday night, Imperium will defend the tag titles against Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. And then the Dakota Kai and Rhea Ripley will face off in a number one contenders match.
I know those names. Those are some good wrestlers.
Ow. Don't do that, Kat. Ow.
Her name is Kate.
No. Not Kate. The cat.
Oh.
Nelly.
The cat of Kai.
Nelly's out of control. A couple WWE news and notes to bring him back. Payback.
Yeah.
At the end of August.
Fastlane?
No, not the end of August. I think it's a week after SummerSlam. Yeah. It's in my notes.
Payback.
Here. Yep. Sunday, August 30th. A week after SummerSlam, we will get another WWE pay-per-view.
Is that our payback for watching this product?
Maybe.
Can we talk about the rumors? Do you have those written down about that Shane is bringing back Brawl for All and stuff? Have you seen this?
No, I have not seen that.
So, Voices of Wrestling, who's usually pretty reputable about stuff, said it's been a wild day in Florida. The craziest rumor that has escaped is that the new Shane McMahon concept for Raw is something akin to Brawl for All shoot fights, complete with female dancers hired as extras to provide atmosphere. I'm not making any of this up.
I can't do it. I can't do it anymore, guys. I'm sorry.
Really, like, let's take the worst idea in wrestling history. And also, let's take away the progress that we've made with women in general and have them be a set. Even though women's wrestling is the only compelling thing about the show right now, because Bayley and Sasha's two-man power trip is actually pretty great.
All right, let's just hope it's a rumor.
Yeah, and it's unfolding as we speak. I'm sure.
Is it happening right now? Is it?
I don't know, but I've seen a couple of tweets that are like, "You're gonna want to tune in for Raw." So I am pessimistic.
I thought you were talking about the stable that was going to show up tonight. There's a rumor that this a new stable will be forming, and whether or not that's the Hurt Business or whether or not maybe it's Undisputed Era.
Oh, so well, maybe there's a bunch of unsubstantiated rumors out there. Let's hope that the ones that I just said are not.
I know corporate Kevin, I can't do it anymore. Guys, I can't.
I got to say, too, Kev, like, I feel like you and I generally try to be the most optimistic about main roster stuff, like, in probably our circle here, and that we try to be positive. Even when most of it's crappy, we try to find, like, the highlights, and we still genuinely, like, tune in and try and find stuff. I got to say, someone retweeted that Kevin Owens promo where he was ripping on Shane for saying that WWE said they were going to start listening to people when they did that, like, we're sorry for our product thing, and nothing's changed. Like, it's been really, really hard to.
It's been worse.
Product on. Yes, exactly. It's only gotten worse since then. So, I mean, if Kevin and I are both tapped out, that's pretty sad, because we try to be optimistic.
Matt, we're going to need to, like, invent, like, six more games and just do, like, a podcast full of games.
I mean, look, it's completely plausible that we could do a show and not talk about the WWE. Impact is running very good shows. AEW is doing well. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right. Let's get to it, Matt. This is your time to shine, baby.
We are doing a United States Cup taking place in California. And the field is eight men. The first show will take place August 7th. The winner of the New Japan Cup USA will get a future title shot against U.S. champion, who just so happens to be your AEW world champion, John Moxley.
Oh, baby.
But, of course, because of the pandemic, Moxley has not been in Japan since February. Carl Fredericks takes on Kenta, so we will get to see Kenta finally wrestle. Jeff Cobb takes on Tonga Leo. David Finley takes on Chase Owens, and Tama Tonga takes on Brody King.
Where's my guy, Matt? Where's my Gabriel Kidd? Where's he at?
Gabriel Kidd's still in Japan, Kevin. He's not in the U.S.
Some of my gun.
Let's see. Gabriel Kidd will probably be in. He's not involved in the Never Six Man Open, the Never Six Man Tag Team tournament either. So
this is blasphemous.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. He doesn't have. Wait, let me see. Hold on. Real fast. No.
Gabriel Kidd should be on every show, every day, ever.
Yeah, no, Gabriel Kidd's not on a team, buddy. I'm sorry.
This is all right. Who do I have to write a letter to? Anoki?
Somebody not. Over at Bushida. Bushida Pro.
All right, Bushida Pro. You've been put on Bushida notice.
So off of the success from the New Japan show that was the American based show that was on Friday nights, came this US Cup thing. So that's super exciting. I'm fucking jazzed up for that. August 7th will be the first round, the 14th will be the semifinals, and the 21st will be the finals, and that's available on New Japan World. And then they are holding, because Evil won the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Championship, right. And obviously none of his LIJ members want to tag with him anymore, the Never Six-Man Tag Team Champions championship belts have been vacated. So August 6th, Okada, Yano, and Sho take on the team of Yujiro, Jado, and Gato, which may possibly be the worst trio in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
You bite your tongue.
You really want Jado, Gato, and fucking the Tokyo Pimp to beat Okada, Toriano, and Sho?
Oh, yeah, baby. Bullet Club.
Sanada, Shingo, and Bushi take on Suzuki, El Desperado, and Doki. If you have New Japan World and you have not been watching the Summer Sizzle shows, go out of your way to watch Nagata and Suzuki from this week. They beat the ever-living fucking piss out of each other. There's also some very interesting things. They are teasing an Ibushi-Tanahashi feud.
Oh, baby.
So in the first round on August 7th, Ibushi-Tanahashi and Master Wado. Terrible gimmick.
I'm sorry, what?
Master Wado. Remember when you were watching the New Japan Cup and they had the... Did you see the commercial with the ninja running through the woods?
Oh boy,
that's Master Wado. I forget what his name was, but he was a young lion, and then he went away on excursion, and he came back with this gimmick. It's a terrible gimmick. They're taking on Zack Sabre Jr., Taichi, and Kanemura, and then Tomohiro Homo, Togi Makabe, and Taguchi take on Ishii, Goto, and Yoshihashi. The semifinals will take place August 8th, and the finals to crown a new champion will be on August 9th. And some unfortunate news, Juice Robinson was supposed to take part in the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Series, but he has a leg injury. So he is not participating, but he is dating Toni Storm, so I guess that's a fair trade-off.
Wow.
If you ask me.
Oh, I agree.
I'm not going to complain there. So that's all my New Japan news I think I have. They've confirmed the top two matches for the Summer Struggle show, which will be taking place at the baseball stadium. It's going to be Evil against Naito, where I'm pretty sure Naito is going to win back those titles. And then Hiromu is taking on Taiji Ishimori for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Really? You think Evil's reign is going to be over that quick?
I think so. I think he's a transitional champion.
But back to Naito?
Back to Naito, yes.
Hmm.
And then there is Tony will love this. They're introducing a new championship in New Japan.
I saw this. Explain this to me, Matt.
I'm gonna read what it says here, and I don't necessarily know how I feel about this. All right. Okada explained what the new title, the KOPW 2020 title, would be. explained that wrestlers competing for the title would pick the stipulations for the title match. The stipulations would then go to a fan vote.
Oh, this is bad.
So, I mean, it's Japanese wrestling fans, so they're a little more grounded than we are.
Yeah, but they're trying. Why are they trying so hard?
I think because of the situation that they're in and because of the limited roster that they have. I think they're just, I mean, how many, with all due respect to your buddy Gabriel Kidd, how many times can we watch Minoru Suzuki pin him?
Every single day.
I guess so. So starting August 26th, eight wrestlers will square off in a first round set of four matches. The winners of those four matches will move on to the Fatal Four-Way at the stadium show. The match will not have a unique stipulation, as it was explained that a Fatal Four match is already unique in itself. Then the winner will be declared the provisional champion. The provisional title will be contested until the end of the year, where one final title match will take place. The winner of that match will then officially become the 2020 champion, receiving a trophy. And then the new process will start again in 2021. It's a lot to take in.
Matt.
Yes.
Kate.
Yeah, I don't love it.
New Japan was doing everything right. They were like the only company that you could not complain about. They were like the only, like, I don't even like New Japan. And I was watching those pay-per-views, the cup and everything. I was watching it all. I loved every second of it. New Japan, you had it going so well. So well.
Yeah.
What are you doing to me, New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Just in their own way. Like, they completely over-engineered this, I think. Like,
Is this the WWE 24/7 championship? What is...
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see and find out. I don't really... understand it. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm not 100% against it yet, because New Japan time and time again has shown me that they can make things work. Evil winning the New Japan Cup, I didn't think was going to work. If you listen back, I was very upset about him being in the finals, but it turned out to be very, very well done. So who knows? I'm not going to shit on it yet, Kevin. And that might be my bias that I think New Japan Pro Wrestling is great, but...
I mean, there's no argument that New Japan is great. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but there's no arguing that it's great. And I do believe part of it is your bias, but I also think that you're very fair in terms of you won't completely shit on something until... you see how it goes. And we don't even know what this really is yet. So you're very fair in that respect. But Matthew, Shining Wizards Matt. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sitting right here, bud.
You got cat butt in your face?
You got your fingers out of your eyes.
You got cat butt in your face?
No, it's kind of by my hand.
Cat butt on your hand. All right, Matt.
Shining
Wizards Matt, as I talk to you right now with cat butt on your hand.
Near my hand.
Near your hand. There's not cat poop on your hand, is there?
Correct! Ding!
All right, so Matt, you have cat poop on your hand. And this championship, New Japan has cat poop on its hand.
Oh. Dude,
right now. It's too much. It's too much poop. It's Nelly poop on your hand. That's what New Japan is doing. NJPW might as well stand for Nelly Japan Poop Wand. I put wand because there was no H for hand there, so I put wand. So New Japan, Nelly Japan Poop Wand is what's happening right now.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Matt, I can't do it.
It's okay. Look, I get it. It seems like a lot. It seems like it's very convoluted. So we'll have to. I'm gonna see if it plays out. And if this is just something that they're doing because of the circumstances that they're in, and they maybe might not be able to get any of these guys back to Japan before the end of the year, because I saw on the Echo show downstairs that they're starting to see spikes again back over there where they thought they had it under control. So
it's everywhere.
Yeah, who knows? Moving on, we're going to say a sad moment. Mark Rollerball Rocco, he was the original... Black Tiger, New Japan Pro Wrestling, also very famous over in the English wrestling scene, the British wrestling scene. English, what an asshole.
And in Canada, too.
He passed away. I'm not super familiar with him, but he had a big effect on a lot of people in the wrestling business. So unfortunately, he passed away 69 years old. Do you guys have any memories of the Rollerball Rocco?
I believe he was entered into the New Japan Pro Wrestling 2020 Cup, I think. And unfortunately, he will no longer be able to do that because it's trash, and he'd rather leave this earth than be a part of that.
Wow. That was very unexpected from KJG.
No, obviously, it's sad. Bret Hart put out a great tribute to him.
With his half a Hulk face?
What's that?
With his half a Hulk face?
That's right.
I love him, but he's still got half a Hulk face.
Oh, he's the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
All right, let's get into this last piece of news before we jump into games. The XFL, The Rock and his group, they seem to have paid approximately $15 million to purchase the assets of the XFL. What that means is beyond me. I know zero zilch about any of this business bullshit, but Kate being the leader of On Deck IC, I'm sure she can shed a little light on this. She seems to be more interested in the business side of when people spend $15 million on giant piles of dog shit. So please share with us.
Well, since you gave me such a beautiful, first Nelly Japan poop wand talk and now dog shit. No, I think even in the football side of what I do, I think most people were more surprised that bailing out the XFL only cost $15 million. But I can tell you the little that I know is that there's a lot of people that think it's a lot cooler to play for The Rock than to play for Vince McMahon. So that's really rad. I think it's way more likely you could see like an Antonio Brown go play for The Rock or a Johnny Manziel for good, bad, or otherwise, go play for The Rock. So I think it absolutely increases the marketability of it. And I don't know if there's anyone more hated in football right now than Vince McMahon because of the way he left the XFL in shambles. And nobody in football really gives a shit about what he does for the WWE, which now isn't even that impressive since he's driving that into the ground. So it's very interesting. I think it's going to probably pivot as a developmental league because once Vince's ego is out of the way, a lot of people realize that like a developmental league for football is something that makes sense. Vince was obsessed about being a competitor of theirs, but if you buy something for $15 million and turn it around and sell it to the NFL for like $750 million, which is a drop in the bucket for them, that's a really good investment for them. And then for the NFL, they have a proven concept of a developmental league and a monopoly on football again. So I think it'll be pretty cool to see how it unfolds. I'm guessing The Rock is going to be more of a figurehead because he's a part owner. I think they're probably just going to use him for all of the marketability that The Rock brings to literally anything.
Right.
But I think a lot of people in football were excited about it. And it's a huge victory lap for, you know, agents are able to get more players, more deals. It's a ton of more spots for personnel that wouldn't have otherwise had a shot. So, and people liked the XFL until it got blindsided by COVID. I know I did. So
yeah. And I don't think you could you hit on a lot of great points. I don't think you could underscore or undersell The Rock's involvement in it. Because listen, there's a time where people really thought this guy could be a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. Like that's how popular The Rock is in all sorts of life and how much he is respected. So I don't think you can understate that enough. As crazy and as ludicrous as it sounds, him being involved in this, I think is a huge factor. I agree with everything that Kate said. The only thing that makes me nervous is when will this resurface? We have there's talk of the NFL not even having a season. And I talked about this a while ago where I thought the NFL was going to buy the XFL when they filed for bankruptcy. I thought the NFL was literally going to say, all right, we'll take it and we'll make this our AAA. We'll do this. We'll make this our G League or our D League. And now I think it's a great investment because people have made worse investments. This is a legit thing that had a following before COVID hit, like Kate said. And I think that once things eventually happen again, I think The Rock's involvement, I don't know anything about his business partners. What is it, like Redbird or Red?
I think Red Light Media.
Red, yeah, something weird like that. I think I think it's a great investment, and I think that The Rock will absolutely 100% succeed. And again, like Kate said, because he succeeds at everything that he does. So
for the time being, it looks like the XFL is back. So that's, I guess, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
I think it'll be a few years. I mean, it has to be, right?
I mean, they play the spring season, which, or at least the last iteration of it, they played offbeat from the NFL season, which was a really smart call, both business-wise and, you know, in this case, it would be a really great call COVID-wise, because you're not even looking until March of next year. And because of the way things are going in the NFL, you have a lot of prospects that aren't signed because there was no supplemental draft and everybody's combine got canceled. So they might be in a position to relaunch in 2021. I think that might be a little bit hasty, but you know, if they tread the same tracks that they were about the stadium deals that were in place and stuff, like, stadiums are going to be desperate to have activity going on. So it'll be interesting. I'm definitely optimistic about it. I think it'll be a win for everyone because people want to watch football year round.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Giddy up.
All right, gang. Kevin, are you ready with your top five list?
I am pulling it up on the old phone ski right now, ski. All right. All right, children. Yesterday marked a very historic day in professional wrestling. Can you tell me what it was, either one of you? Matt?
It was the day Ron Simmons defeated Vader to become the first African-American World Heavyweight Champion in a major wrestling promotion.
That's right.
Which was WCW.
And that got me thinking about some stuff. Because I don't think anyone, I mean, I can't remember back that long as a fan, but I don't think anyone really saw that coming. So that made me thinking, do I want to do a top five Ron Simmons moment? Then I started thinking about top five Nation of Domination moments. But then I went with, you know what? Let's take the more traditional route and let's go with the top five world title wins you did not see coming.
Ooh.
All right.
And I almost had to make this like a top seven because there was a lot. But I went with five that I think are pretty good, and these are not Money in the Bank cash-ins. No Money in the Bank cash-ins count.
Is it strictly WWF, WWE?
Or is it some WCW, WWF.
Okay, cool.
That is it. So, again, this is a list that you could probably poke a lot of holes in, but I think that they're okay.
All right. So. Kate, as the champion of Can You Top That, I will defer to you, so you can go first if you like.
This is a top five list.
Well, usually I have Tony here. He's a lot smarter than you.
Wow. I've got the belt. I'll be honest, when you were setting it up, I was like, is this going to be Vince's top five, like, most racist moments? WWF, not WWE?
No, it covers the whole thing.
The whole thing. Okay, well, you said WWF, so I was just making sure.
No, Kate.
No cash-ins. Ziggler was a cash-in, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the best moment ever.
That was. Randy Orton taking the title from No, because that was on SmackDown.
It doesn't matter when it was.
Okay, I was going to say Randy Orton taking the SmackDown title off CM Punk.
No.
Not see it coming.
Not even on the radar. And that's no. I didn't mean to sound like a dick there. It's just
no. I get you.
This is going to go two ways, because if I miss this, then I'm going back to the well with the same guy. I'm going Bob Backlund beating Bret Hart at Survivor Series.
Not on the list, Matt. Thought about it. Not on the list.
All right. And then I will just go again. I'm going to flip it. Diesel beating Bob Backlund in less than a minute at the Garden.
Matt, that is on the list. That is number three on the list. Right. And a lot of these, the numbers in these are kind of weird, so just don't look at it as like 5-1. They're just all there. Diesel, Bob Backlund, 1994, after he threw down the tag team titles with Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series, The Garden. Diesel, didn't see that coming.
Nope. All right. I like it.
Number three.
Kate the Great, you got anything?
Finn Balor winning the first Universal title?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one, Kate. I feel like I didn't think about it.
That's right.
But I thought that he was going to win it. That's just me. So maybe, but no, that's on the list. On the list. Good guess, though. Great guess, actually.
Thank you.
I am going to say Ric Flair winning the Royal Rumble 1992.
Wow. Didn't think about that one either, Matt. So no, that's not on the list, only because I didn't think about it. And I did a lot of research. I have a couple ones that you guys, and I told myself before this, I was not going to give you hints, but there might be a couple tough ones on here. So.
This is a tough category.
Well, it's all perspective. It's what you saw or what you didn't see coming, you know what I mean?
Like,
Matt Leibel, I was explaining to him why I didn't put it on the list.
Any great art, it's what you see.
All right, I'll give you a hint because Matt's not here. Only because otherwise this will be really boring radio if we don't at least talk about something.
Zack Ryder winning the U.S. title.
Kate, it's not a world championship, but I'm such a big Zack Ryder mark. That's number one on the list. And actually, all the rest of the title wins on this list are Zack Ryder title wins.
Well, fantastic.
So, number one, Zack Ryder winning the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. Number two, Zack Ryder winning the U.S. Championship from Dolph Ziggler. Number three, Zack Ryder winning the World Tag Team Championship with my dear, good personal friend who I just spoke with today, Curt Hawkins. And then, of course, the original tag team title win, where they beat Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore, Jesse and Festus, and the Miz and Morrison in a four-way dance as the Edgeheads, a little after the Edgeheads. No, Kate, Zack Ryder winning the U.S. title is not on the list or the Intercontinental Championship.
I thought I got the whole list right.
How impressive was that, me rattling off all Zack Ryder's title wins? So.
That was pretty clutch.
Not to mention his internet championship and his...
They're all just internet championship wins.
And the major wrestling figure podcast win. Wow, Matt's taking a while. Let's see. What do you think he's doing?
Can I give a real guess?
Yeah, go for it.
How about Mankind defeating The Rock?
Did Mankind beat The Rock? Yeah, he did. Yeah. No, the only reason why we saw that coming is because on Nitro, they spoiled it.
That's fair.
All right, I'm back. I'm sorry. I take a phone call from the wife. What did I miss?
Nothing.
Not Zack Ryder winning the IC title.
Matt, we actually decided that the entire list consisted of Zack Ryder's title wins.
Oh, let's go Jinder Mahal beating Randy Orton.
Fuck. All right. That's a good one. But I think there was scuttlebutt that was going to happen.
So we only have the Diesel win.
That's it.
Can I get a Ricky Steamboat beating Flair?
Nope.
Can I get, this is just because I'm such an Eddie Mark, Eddie beating Brock?
That's a fucking good one.
Thank you.
And I remember being in my college apartment at the time, and the guy that came in to like fix like our air conditioner spoiled it for me because I hadn't watched it yet.
Oh, boo.
And he was like, Eddie won. I'm like, yeah, right, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, no, Eddie won. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Eddie Guerrero beat Brock Lesnar? Yeah, it was crazy. That's wild. No, another great guess. That's why I'm saying there's a lot of holes in this list.
Can I say Benoit beating Michaels and Triple H at WrestleMania 20?
Nah, I think we all kind of knew that was a real thing that was going to happen.
Hogan beating Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9.
Matt, that's number six. I have it. Hogan WM9 at the bottom of the list.
I got it. Because you're a Miz guy. The Miz beating Randy Orton.
Wow, this is really bad. No, but that should have been on there. This should have been a top 20 list, to be honest with you. But I think once you get the ones, all right, none of it is modern era. The last one is 2001 is the most recent one.
Kane beating Austin at King of the Ring in the first blood match.
Crap. All right. Nope. It's a good one too.
I
think the momentum of some of these outweigh the great guesses that you guys are having, especially number one.
What about Vince beating Triple H?
No.
Undertaker beating Hogan at Tuesday in Texas or Survivor Series.
No. Yeah, one of them. No.
Bret beating Ric Flair.
Matt hits another one. Bret Hart defeating Ric Flair in 1992 in Saskatoon, Canada. I just remember watching this. All of a sudden, I'm watching Superstars or Wrestling Challenge. I don't see the match because the match never really airs on TV. And all of a sudden, Mean Gene introduces the World Heavyweight Champion, and it's Bret Hart. You never would have thought that. But so Bret Hart is number two on the list. So you have number three, and you have number two. Diesel Bob Backlund, 94. Bret Hart, Ric Flair, October 12th, 1990. It may have been 1991. No, it was 92.
It was 92.
October 12th.
What about the championship that the wrestlers didn't even see coming? In the Montreal Screwjob, Shawn Michaels defeating Bret Hart. Come on!
Nah, only because it's Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. Like, I mean, the way that it ended, yeah, of course. But anyway, either one of them could have won that match.
Lex Luger beating Hollywood Hogan for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship.
On Nitro, no. Because there was a pay-per-view the next week, and he kind of thought that once it happened and he won, you're like, all right, he's losing it.
So then that eliminates Goldberg beating Hogan.
Goldberg and Hogan is not on the list. Okay, Goldberg is going to get there anyway.
Two
of them are WCW ones, and they're later in WCW.
Benoit beating Sid in the finals of that stupid tournament. Was that a thing?
It was a thing. I don't know if it was a tournament or not, because I think Bret Hart won the world title tournament. Benoit just beat Sid and Arn Anderson.
What about Jericho beating Austin?
Kate, can you give me an event?
Vengeance?
Kate hit the number one. Chris Jericho winning the Undisputed Championship, beating The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the same night, also involving Kurt Angle in that. So
4 and 5 are WCW ones.
4 and 5 are WCW.
Matt, 4 and 5 are going to be you.
Booker T beating Jeff Jarrett at Bash at the Beach for the title.
I'm sorry, Kate kind of covered you up there. What'd you say?
Booker T beating Jeff Jarrett.
Matt, scream it from the rooftops, because you hit number four. Booker T defeating Jeff Jarrett at Bash at the Beach. It was Jeff Jarrett, Hogan. We all know this. The Hogan screw job of the year 2000.
And then I'll go for 5. DDP beating, what did he beat, Flair for the title?
You're kind of there. He won one of his titles there, but it was a four-way at Spring Stampede in 1999 between Diamond Dallas Page, Hulk Hogan, Sting, and Ric Flair with the Macho Man Randy Savage as the special guest referee. Macho Man helps out his longtime rival, looks the other way, I believe, in some fashion. Diamond Dallas Page winning his first World Heavyweight Championship. So number 5, DDP. Number 6, Booker T. See, I had number 6, but because it won't let me number down on my notes, it just numbers up. So I have to do my best to remember that it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. DDP, Booker T, Diesel, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho. A lot of great guesses in that.
I like that list. That was a good list, Kevin.
That was, and we did pretty good. I mean, you got 4 of the 5, but there was no hints even.
KTG, you got number 1.
I should get number 1.
Nice.
Even though I kind of thought that Jericho was going to win that anyway, but I'm just smarter than everyone else, except for Kate.
Well, that...
Thank you for the amendment. I appreciate it.
Listen, I figure the more I sell it, the more you're just going to bury me, so...
Look, I don't carry around the weight of a construction paper belt for nothing, okay?
Goddamn right.
Swing that over my shoulder. brutal.
Not too many twisted T's to be angry.
Well, that leads us to, can you top that? And for those that missed it last week, let's get a little recap here. It's time once again to play everyone's favorite show, Can You Beat That? Please welcome back Shining Wizards Kevin.
Are you making playing your debut the whole
on Can You Beat That? Welcome the one and only Kate the Great.
Let's do Ladies 400.
How many can you name?
Three.
Kevin, Kate says she can name three of the six. Kevin, the question to you is, can you beat that?
I will say four.
Kate, Kevin says four. Kate, the question to you, can you beat that?
Now I'm going to let Kevin.
Lita?
Kevin, I'm sorry. Lita is not on the list. Kate the Great gets the point. 2 weeks' notice.
I can name three.
Kevin says he can name three, Kate. Question to you is, can you beat that?
No, I think I could tie it, but I'm going to let Kevin name three.
Are you going with Rob Van Dam?
I'm going with Rob Van Dam.
Ladies and gentlemen, with 2 points to zero, we have a new champion, Kate the Great. No,
that's not true.
Let them dig their own graves, and I will rise to victory.
Yeah, you didn't do anything, so relax.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new champion for Can You Beat That, and her name is Kate the Great. Congratulations, Kate.
Good bullshit.
Kevin, quit the show. Oh, my God. Kevin,
there's just so many people I would like to thank. I would like to start by thanking Kevin for just handing me the victory. I would like to thank Tony for having me on and conducting these games. I would like to thank Matt for bailing. And I would like to thank myself for having the strategic genius to let Kevin dig his own grave.
I didn't lose. Bullshit. No one on this goddamn podcast knows more about professional wrestling than I do.
Tonight, the rematch of the century as Kevin tries to reclaim his Can You Beat That championship from Kate the Great. I can happily say that is my proudest moment of putting together any kind of promotion for anything.
I was going to say the editing job. I didn't know if it was you or Tony, but amazing.
Are we on the Shining Wizards or are we on the Michael Kay show? That was that was incredible.
So,
but now I can't let TJ Crawford down. It's a whole other level of pressure.
And it's time for Can You Beat That? Tony is drowning, hopefully, in the Atlantic Ocean, so Matt here will take over. And if you recall, 2 weeks ago when I ran the show, Kevin dominated Shining Wizards Tony, but that is not the case here. Can you top that? Can you beat that? I don't know what we're calling it anymore, but Kate is the reigning defending champion after breaking Kevin's 45-week streak.
That's right.
So, now, I don't know how we did this the last time, but Kate, as the champion, do you want to receive the kick or defer the kick?
I'll defer, because that's how it went last time.
Okay, so Kevin, I have two topics for you. You may pick. Gracing the cover? Or not enough TV time.
Ooh. I'll go gracing the cover.
Okay, gracing the cover, Kevin, is the topic at hand. And now everyone remembers the rules. I will ask Kevin the question that I have in front of me. He will tell me how many he can guess. If Kate thinks she can guess more, she can answer. And tell me how many she can guess. And Kevin, if he thinks he can't answer that many, then Kate has to answer, vice versa. I think I explained that properly. So if Kevin says he can guess four, Kate says she can guess six. Kevin says, go ahead, Kate, guess six. Kate gets one of those six wrong, point goes to Kevin.
God, why am I so nervous?
All right, Kevin, gracing the cover. Between the years of 1998 and 2004, there have been 19 wrestlers on the cover of the TV Guide in America. How many wrestlers can you name.
We're going wrestling personalities or wrestlers or just anyone involved in wrestling?
Anyone involved in wrestling. They are all involved in wrestling, yes.
I can name three.
Kevin says he can name three. Kate, how many can you name wrestlers between the years 1998 and 2004 who have graced American TV guides? There are 19 possible answers.
God, 19.
I think I can name four.
Kate thinks she can name four. Kevin, can you name more than four wrestlers that have been on the cover of the TV guide?
I'll go five.
Kevin says five. Kate, can you name more than five wrestlers that have been on the TV guide cover?
What were the years again?
1998 to 2004.
Kevin said he can name five.
Kevin said he could name five.
I'm gonna say for those years, I think I could name six.
Kate thinks she can name six wrestlers who have been on the cover of TV Guide in the years of 1998 and 2004. Kevin, can you name more than six?
2004? I'll say seven.
Kevin thinks he can name seven. Kate, can you name seven wrestlers who've been on the cover of TV Guide between 1998 and 2004?
I'm going to let Kevin name seven.
Of course you are.
All right, Kevin, here we go. Seven wrestlers between the years 1998 and 2004 have been on the cover of TV Guard. TV Guide, excuse me.
TV Guard? Well, that's a whole other list.
Whenever you're ready, Kevin. The number is seven.
Hogan.
That is one.
Austin.
That is two.
Rock.
That is three.
Mankind.
That is four.
Sable.
That is five.
This is where it's going to kill me. This is it. You're going to have... You might have this one, Kate. Was DDP one of the WCW ones?
Right family, wrong member, Kevin. Point goes to Kate. Kimberly Page was on the cover of TV Guide.
Kevin.
Was Deborah on TV Guide?
She was not.
Was Triple H on TV Guide?
Triple H was on TV Guide.
Was John Cena on TV Guide?
Not between 1998 and 2004.
All right.
Here's who you missed.
I'll own that one.
Goldberg.
Oh, he was number one. Ah! He was at the top of the list. He was at the top of the list on notes.
The Undertaker.
Ah!
Kimberly Page was part of a run in August of 1999 with Kevin Nash, Randy Savage, and Sting.
I'll own that one.
In 2000, it was Triple H, China, Kurt Angle, and Rikishi.
I had Kurt Angle.
Sure.
The Cat and Chris Jericho. And then 2004 was a WrestleMania 20 special with Chris Benoit, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H was on the cover, but I can't count him twice.
All right. I'll own that one.
All right, so 1 point to Kate the Great. Kate, do you we're going to go with not enough TV time.
Not enough TV time.
From August 1992 to April 11th, 2001, there have been 21 ECW television champions. Sorry, I gotta count how many answers there are. There have been 10 ECW TV champions who have held the title for less than 50 days. 10 out of 21 that have held the title for less than 50 days. How many ECW television champions can you name who have held the title for less than 50 days?
Who goes first?
This is Kate's question, so she goes first.
I'm going to say I could guess 4.
Kate is saying 4.
Knock yourself out, because I go for it.
All right, Kate, you have to name 4 ECW TV champions who have had title reigns that lasted less than 50 days. There are 10 possible answers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I don't mean to give salt to the wounds of Kevin, but I think Rob Van Dam's got to be one of them.
Kate, you are incorrect.
Oh. I thought that was the whole thing last week.
Rob Van Dam was an ECW world champion.
Oh, all right.
Not all right. A television champion. This is the first time. Kevin, point to you. This is the first time we've come down to the tiebreaker.
Matt, let me get those names, because I don't think I could have named
one. I'm sorry. My apologies. I got excited about the tiebreaker. Terry Funk.
Sure.
JT Smith. Bam Bam Bigelow. Johnny Hotbody.
Don't even know who that is.
The Pitbull.
All right. That one I probably could have gotten.
Super Crazy. Pitbull number 2. Chris Jericho.
That one I had.
Tajiri. And Kid Cash.
Yeah. Kate, I'm so glad you came out hot with 4. All right. Get this question as far away as possible from me.
Now, I don't know how... We've never had a tiebreaker before. So I don't know how we decide who goes first.
Well, coin flipski?
I thought I did not have a quarter in my pocket.
I got a bottle cap.
Right, yeah, I want to go with this one. I think this is going to be a tough one.
And I'll be honest. Obviously, if I'm anything, I'm honest. So... KTG, do you want GOT or do you want Twisted T?
I'm going to go Twisted T. Don't leave me wrong, Twisted T.
I'm going to flip it. It's going to land on the ground. I'll be honest as heck. Twisted T. So her option, right?
It is her option. Do you want to go first or do you want Kevin to pick first? I already have the question. There is no question as to what this question is.
I'll go first.
Okay. The topic is called Goonies Are Good Enough. In 1985, Cyndi Lauper released the hit single Goonies Are Good Enough for the film The Goonies. The music video premiered on MTV as a two-part music video featuring 8 WWF wrestlers and or managers. How many can you name?
This is so unfair to Kevin because I'm so familiar with it. I can name at least 3.
This is a setup. I knew it was a setup.
I just love Cyndi Lauper. I can name at least 3.
Just so you know, Tony's listening. He says he can name 6.
I believe him. I believe him 100%. I can't say that I can match it, right?
No.
No, it has to be either 1. Kate said 3.
Not can you tie that.
Right. Can you top that?
All right. So either she's very confident or she's bluffing. What year, Matt?
1985, Kevin.
Name it, song again?
Goonies Are Good Enough from the Goonies movie.
I mean, I guess I have to try, right? If she's that confident. Or is she bluffing? She does. I believe that she likes Cyndi Lauper.
Hell yeah, I do.
Fucking weird ass questions.
I had to think outside the box, dude.
I know. This is kudos. Because if I lose this one, I'll definitely own this one. All right, I guess I'll go. I guess I'll go four.
Kevin thinks he can name four wrestlers or managers from the 1985 music video Goonies Are Good Enough.
I can name five.
All right, do it. Because I can't.
Kate, can you name five wrestlers that were in the Goonies Are Good Enough video from 1985 from Cyndi Lauper?
Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik is one.
Andre the Giant.
Andre the, you know what? Tony got that as the first one too, and I thought that would be the hardest one because he was only in the second half of the, it was a two-part music video. He was only in the second half.
Yeah, but he's a giant.
Fair enough.
Never
you
guessed
have two.
Andre. I would have never guessed Andre.
Iron Sheik.
You said Iron Sheik already. That's two.
Oh, okay. Iron Sheik, Andre, Roddy Piper.
Piper is three.
Hula.
Moolah is four.
This is where it gets dicey. Because I can't remember. Captain Lou?
Captain Lou is five. Kate the Great victorious again.
Yeah. I'll own that one. I would have never guessed Andre. Was
Andre
in there?
Andre, who?
I was in there for sure, right?
Was Nikolai in there?
Nikolai was there. You're missing three. Nikolai?
Well, it's got to be Wendy Richter's got to be in there
Wendy
somewhere.
Richter.
It's killing me. Every time I could easily have gotten that if I tried.
And there's one more.
Paul Orndorff?
No Paul Orndorff. Classy Freddie Blassie.
Makes sense.
That I would never have remembered.
I would have never gotten Andre.
Yeah, Andre I thought would be the hardest one.
Tony. No, he's pretty memorable.
I remember Captain Lou. I remember Iron Sheik. I remember Nikolai. You in the time, you gotta assume Piper's there.
Yeah, of course.
Right, Captain Lou because he had his relationship with Cyndi Lauper.
I would have never gotten Moolah. So I would have guessed Captain Lou. I would have guessed Nikolai. I actually wouldn't have guessed Iron Sheik because I didn't think of him. For some reason, Nikolai stands out.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Nikolai, Captain Lou was obvious. Piper was obvious. I'm not discrediting you at all. I'm just saying that.
No, yeah.
What I thought of. Yeah, I probably would have only guessed three or four. The fact that she went five was crazy.
Amazing.
I know the music, and I love my Cyndi Lauper. That was, and I love the Goonies, so what are you going to do?
Oh, Goonies is a classic. All right. I'll take this one.
I was really trying hard to think outside the box because of, you know, there's only so many. The TV Guide one was a motherfucker to look up because the Google.
That was an easy one. That's on me.
Google doesn't separate TV Guide America versus TV Guide Canada.
So all you gotta do is guess. All you gotta do is take your chances and guess Attitude Era, guys, and you would have probably got it.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I can go up the scale on that.
Oh yeah, I'll own this one for sure.
All right, well, I have two that I didn't use that I can use for next time. One I thought may have been a little too easy, but the other one I think would have been a real fun one, and we'll save that for another week. So Kate wins again, two in a row. I think it was the best bout we've ever had. You guys went to a 1-1 tie.
We did.
And that's never happened. It's always been a clean sweep. Kevin's either clean swept me or Tony, or he's lost to you.
There was one week where it did go to a tie. I thought you were in the tiebreaker, or did I make that up?
No.
I thought so, too. I thought we've asked more than two questions before.
No, I think we've had Tony give us the other ones just so we had something to talk about. But now we're fast approaching the three-hour mark here at the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, God, Christ.
Yeah, it's 9:41.
All right, let's go to bed.
As we make our way out the door, be sure to support us on all platforms, at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Remember, every week we do a Twitter giveaway where all you have to do is retweet the pinned tweet, and every Monday I will pick a winner. I've yet to do that today. I will draw my winner for last week's Brian Pillman episode tonight, and then they will get a package in the mail full of T-shirts and trading cards and stickers and all sorts of wrestling goodies that I have laying around. Kevin's on the Twitter machine at Kevin Garifo. Kate's on the Twitter machine at OnDeckIC. So make sure you're following them, chatting them up. They're great wrestling fans. I mean, obviously, you know that if you're listening to the podcast. They're very knowledgeable. They're probably two of the most grounded wrestling fans that I know. So they're very open-minded, and they do know what they're talking about. So definitely follow them. And, of course, if you have a couple extra bucks and you want to join our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And then the big pro wrestling tees sale. If you're going to pick up a War Horse, tell your baby dork-ass friends to watch wrestling t-shirt, then get a Shining Wizards t-shirt too. And then if you're a Patreon, you get the 10%. I don't know if you can combine the 10% discount, but it's worth a shot. Either way, you're saving 20% the next couple days.
Stupid dummy t-shirt.
So,
Kevin. So. Okay, I'm going to change. On Deck IC used to stand for Integrated Communications, but now it's just going to stand for like Intercontinental Champion, because I feel like I kind of am. But I guess I'm the world champion of the podcast.
No, you are. You won. So. You got this one. No hate like last week. You got it.
Very good. Well, this is episode 492. We are well on our way to 500. Big thanks to TJ Crawford for joining us tonight. Again, at TJC Wrestling on Twitter and Instagram. Give him a follow. Keep tabs on him as things slowly start to open up here in the Jersey area. TJ is going to be hitting the mat, so to say, and a big match with Bowens on the 22nd at WrestlePro. And I'm sure he'll be involved at the Synergy show, the Heat Seeker show on the 29th. So keep your eyes peeled for TJ. And support professional wrestling. Anything else you guys want to say before we sign off?
I'm good to go, baby.
Kate?
I was really hoping Kevin was going to have, like, some venom at me, but...
No, because, listen, I acknowledge defeat when it happens. I answered questions wrong. You answered a question wrong, but you came in hot, and you got one right. So, there it is.
It was so much more fun to win last week, I'm not going to lie. It's way more fun when Kevin is saltier.
No, because I acknowledge that TV guide question was a layup, and I totally screwed it up, and that's on me.
Kevin sounds like he's in, like, the post game of a team that just lost in the playoffs.
Well, technically I did, right? Didn't I?
You kind of did. It was single elimination. It was brutal.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me back on. Tony, I hope there isn't a hurricane in your room. I hope you're enjoying vacation, and thanks for letting me fill in. This is always a blast. I love my Wednesday night compadres, but coming on Monday is super fun too. And to any of you watching Raw, hey, good luck out there.
And if you're watching AEW, Dark, the tag title, the tag cup, being the elite, be sure to tune in every Wednesday night. We are going to get a later start this Wednesday night because I have work. But I will be a part of the Wednesday Night Dynamite show. It's just going to be a little later than it was. It's been recently, maybe like a 10:40 start, give or take, on how fast I can get home from work. But be sure to tune in live on the Rant, rantemradio.com, and download everything. ShiningWizards.com is the website. And enjoy the rest of your evening. Right, gang?
Hell yeah.
All right, see you all next week for episode 493 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Nice.
Oh, you know what? Shout out to Mike Freeland and Front Row Material, too. They do an awesome podcast, Jerry Lynn, Mikey Whipwreck.
Project.
And I probably should have plugged it earlier, but Tony's the guy who usually spends all his time talking to them. Definitely check it out. It's not just wrestling stories. It's all sorts of crazy stories. Pretty sure Mikey Whipwreck is like a serial killer, which makes me like him even more. But some of the fucking stories he tells are hysterical. So definitely check that out. And all the other shows over on the Shining Wizards Network. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I should have Tony send me the fucking...
Are we playing this again?
I have no go-home music. I don't want to just end it cold.
All right, so let's play another trivia game.
I'm not playing another trivia game. I gotta go do fucking husband shit now.
Yeah, I gotta go to bed. I gotta go to work tomorrow if we're not flooded.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. If you like what you're listening to, leave us a review, tell your friends, share us on social media. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Bye.